Okay, welcome to episode 211 of the Linux Lug Cast. We're an open podcast slash lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate on the podcast. All you have to do is go to linuxlugcast.com and you can get the server details of how to connect to Mumble. And then you just, every first and third Friday of the month, join us, go into the Lugcast room, and start talking. It's that simple. Just ask the many other people who are here with us. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. We have a Reddit page where we like to post things that a lot of times get talked about on the show. There's a MeWe group, which I'm pretty sure nobody is looking at. And we have, what else do we have?
YouTube channel.
YouTube channel, a Matrix room, a PeerTube channel.
Nobody's looking at those either.
Just Matrix. Go to the website and you see everything.
What, the website and the show notes has links to everything. LinuxLugcast.com. Check it out today.
LinuxLugcast.com. Say it 17 times.
All right.
And what do they get if they join our Patreon?
We have a Patreon? You get to see
your
Joe
only
do
fans.
A dance.
That's your only fan,
yeah,
Danny.
That
not
sounds
mine,
good.
Yours.
Joe does a dance on our Patreon, so
that,
everybody.
That's right.
How much do they have to pay to see that? Oh, Joe.
A lot.
Oh, okay. Joe pays
a
them.
Lot. I see. No, you have to pay me a lot.
Joe will pay you
plus,
to watch
plus
him dance.
Drinks. Plus drinks.
It's his fetish.
Yep. Join our Jitsi. Join our Jitsi live during the show, and you might get a chance to see Joe working out.
Yeah.
Well, Joe? I am lifting weights tonight, but I'm doing 21. Hey, you want me to change the camera angle so you can see me do 21s?
Joe sanding something. Joe using a drill.
Joe soldering.
You get to hear me
Joe
using
soldering
a drill quite frequently.
Joe drinking an energy drink. Joe eating protein ice cream.
Joe putting a roof on his house.
Protein ice cream is awesome.
Joe oiling his body.
Well, that's called moisturizing, not oiling.
And on the off days, you'll see Danny's cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hear Danny
days,
cleaning
you'll
a
see
fish
Danny's
tank.
Cat.
Danny He's doing other things in the men's room.
And Danny going to the bathroom. Yes, that's quite frequent.
I never put that on camera.
But not on camera, but definitely the audio's there.
Yeah. That's. What about Morncy? You can see him in Thailand right now. He
that's
is
right.
On
with his
the
girlfriend.
Other side of the world. He looks very relaxed right now. Mm-hmm. You're working, Morncy?
She's working.
Oh. What are you doing?
Relaxing until I have to work all weekend.
Oh, you got to work this weekend?
So, are you working U.S. hours while you're there? So you work at you'll be working nighttime. What's your nighttime?
7 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Wow. You got to do that all weekend?
I'm available from 4 p.m. until 3 a.m. Monday.
Are you on call? No, just regular working. Well, Morncy.
They had some upgrade going this weekend, and at the last minute, they decided we needed to be available.
Oh, awesome.
I don't think Morncy's going to be able to do the drum roll, so I'm going
to. Well, hold on. I still have to introduce people.
Oh.
We have a large cast here tonight. I haven't had a chance to introduce anybody.
Hey,
bitch.
We haven't talked about the movie there, and we ain't picking the next one yet.
Right? He's jumping ahead to the next movie already. All right, I'm the host for this evening, Honky McGee, with us tonight is Hopper.
Hola!
Sorry.
That's a nice drum roll.
Okay, it's just us.
That was Joe. Just for Hopper.
Not for Joe, it was
not
for
Joe.
Gotta make sure that's stated.
That's right.
Definitely not for Joe.
Joe, you want to say hi?
Hola, qué bueno.
Lovecraft?
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, been very quiet tonight.
Yeah, a little bit.
Lovecraft.
Been getting some stuff done over here.
Lovecraft and Scotty are helping me out with the show notes for the HBR show.
Yeah, that's nice of them to
do
that.
That's
a lot
huge,
of work.
Huge, huge.
It is. I'm so glad that they helped because I wasn't going to.
We're going to try and have it out before summer this time.
That's the goal.
Great.
That's the goal.
Before the next New Year's show.
That's so right.
I might grab the Raws from you, though, and see if I can't get my... I know Tala was on for a good 45 minutes or something.
I can send you the link.
Say anything funny?
I don't know.
It's on Next... I have it on the Nextcloud. I can send you the link.
Yeah.
Don't let me forget.
I'll let you forget.
Also, Mitix.
Hello.
Martin C.
Swati Kap from Thailand.
And Atlanter.
Martin C. is working on getting the reward for the most remote work of all the team.
What about, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
He had a thought. It ran away from him. It'll be the only one.
What about Lugbot?
Oh, do we introduce Lugbot?
He's on the show.
Oh, okay. We also have Lugbot.
Hello, kid.
There you go.
Excellent. All right. So we normally start with the movie.
Oh, I'm going to try an experiment here. We'll see if it works. So I'm going to share the trailer to the movie on Jitsi, and then I'm going to play the audio through Lugbot. And so the audio should go to the mumble, and then it also sync up with the video on the Jitsi video. So let's see if this works. What's the name of the movie?
Moon 44.
Okay, so I'm going to share now and pause it. Okay, and then I'm going to play here. Are you ready? So it's Moon 44. What year is this?
1990.
Okay, so here's the trailer. So you can watch it and you can hear it.
The year 2038. A world of intergalactic corporations locked in ruthless rivalry. A world of desperate technologies competing for shrinking resources.
Holy shit, where are we? Prisoners?
You're an ex-fighter pilot. You some kind of tough guy, maybe?
Shut up!
One man's courage triumphs over savagery and greed.
Our defense system is based on the perfect interaction of pilot and navigator.
God damn it, up!
Those wimps sit on their skinny butts.
Your life depends upon you listening to these guys.
Get back, son of a bitch!
A world of struggle, of fear, and of hope.
You got it!
This plan will never work.
Prisoners come a hell of a lot cheaper than pilots.
Yeah, well, our lives depend upon those people.
That was murder.
Without these faggots, we don't fly. And I ain't going back to prison.
You're fighting!
In the outer zone, you need a friend.
Bandits approaching quickly.
Lisa Eichhorn. Malcolm McDowell, Michael Paré. In a Roland Emmerich film, Moon 44.
All right. So, didn't exactly sync up, but...
No. Was that supposed to be a cohesive thought?
I gotta figure out how to get out of here. All right, can I stop sharing video? Stop video.
The movie definitely lacked... Okay. Any cohesiveness whatsoever.
From that short little bit, it sounds about right.
Oh, no. It should have been a good movie. I mean, the cinematography was actually pretty good. The video quality
really cool.
Was decent. The audio was nice. The problem wasn't even the acting. They had some good actors in there. The problem was... There was no storyline.
Yeah, there really wasn't.
And then the storyline that was there was so disjointed, broken, and completely friggin' pointless.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Suicide Squad.
Let me get some background, a little bit of background.
Give the synopsis.
Yeah, so first, let's start. You know who the director of this is? Roland Emmerich. So it's the same guy that did Stargate, Independence Day, Day After Tomorrow. So he has some skins on the wall. This is just a really early movie from him. Universal Soldier. He's a pretty big guy, but I think if this was him just starting out, and so hadn't really...
This was him trying out some new shit?
Yeah, hadn't really got the whole directing thing down. And I'll also ask, this is not technically really a tech movie. I guess it's more of just kind of a sci-fi movie, you know?
Well, it's not an action movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not a lot of action. I'll give a brief synopsis of it. It came out in 1990. All the Earth's natural resources have been depleted. It takes place in 2038, and then multinational corporations have taken control of all the planets and the solar, you know, in the around the galaxy and the moons and stuff to mine resources for them. And so there's this battle going on between these corporations for these moons, and one of them is Moon 44, which is, I think, is that the last one that the Galactic Mining Company has control over. And there's another company called Pyrite that's its competition that's trying to take over this moon.
They're actually like pirates.
Yeah, like pirates. And so they're having this big issue trying to keep the moon from being taken over by this other company. So they hire an undercover agent who's Michael Perret, by the way, has been in a lot of cool movies himself. I just watched the movie called Streets of Fire with him in it recently. I'll recommend that to you guys. But anyway, so they get this idea, since all these
helicopters.
All their pilots that pilot these helicopters on the moon, which I don't know, what are the helicopters supposed to do? They're not mining resources or anything.
They're transporting resources.
Oh, transporting.
I thought the helicopters were just security.
No, they're transporting resources, which is why one keeps disappearing every month.
Yeah, but not the helicopters. I thought all of the resources got put into like big old ships, and those ships were going
the
to
shuttles.
Where, yeah, because the shuttles they're automated.
Okay, then this movie makes even less sense, because they were losing, was it one shuttle each month, or was helicopter each month?
One shuttle, because going in and changing, because the whole system of the shuttle, it would start mining whatever it's supposed to be mining. It goes into these giant shuttles, and the shuttles are an automated system to take off, but somebody was going in and reprogramming it so that it didn't go to where it's supposed to go. It went to somewhere else.
Yeah, the pilots were getting killed, but none of the theft involved actual, you know, like fighting in order to steal it.
Well, I think that's how the pilots were getting killed, though. I think that's the pilots were trying to defend the shuttles, and right. I think they were being killed. So
all the losses happened through programming.
Yeah, but let me finish real quick, because it's the rest of the movie. So they hire, they don't even hire. They just tell these a bunch of prisoners, hey, you can either stay in prison or you can go to this moon and train to be a pilot in these helicopters to defend these shuttles. So they get a big shipment of prisoners on Moon 44. And also the Galactic Mining Company wants to know exactly what's happening to the shuttles. So they hire this private and kind of an undercover agent, Felix Stone, to go along and act like he's one of the prisoners to go undercover. And so they get to the moon, and they find out that it's actually a conspiracy from inside the company on the moon that is, I guess, working in cooperation with that Pyrite company to modify the computers on the shuttles so that the shuttles just, what do they just fly to the...
They're automated drones, and they'll just fly over to the Pyrite company.
Yeah, so they'll fly to the Pyrite company. So that's what the undercover agent is there to find out. And so it goes through, different sequences, like pilot sequences where the helicopters fly around, and they have to be tied to a navigator. A navigator is like these whiz kids on these computers that actually tell the pilot where to fly and when to turn and stuff like that.
Can evidently take control of the helicopter.
Yeah, and I guess they could take control of the helicopter too if they want to. So,
control of the helicopter?
We'll get to that in a minute, because it gets into my major complaint.
Oh, you don't remember that, Honky?
No.
When the guy died in the helicopter. Okay, look. First of all, there's a moral to this movie. The moral of it is if you require someone to stay in order for yourself to stay alive, don't molest them in the shower.
Don't rape them. That's the worst thing you can do. Because one of the navigators...
And then tease them while they're supposed to be keeping you alive.
Yeah, yeah, while you're in the helicopter. So, yeah, I'll agree. There's not a lot of story here, but I did like the set. And I thought the models looked really good.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Visually, it's stunning. Yeah. But the dogfights weren't really dogfights. The danger from flying was mostly debris and canyon walls, which, okay, fine, whatever.
You're in a helicopter. Just go up.
They couldn't because they specifically said because of the wind shear over the top of the cliff.
Oh, all right.
Which is why they couldn't go over the canyons. So,
first off, I'd like to debate the whole some of the sets and stuff looked good.
Okay, well, some of them were a bit cheese, but
so,
yeah.
So, first off, what is Pyrite? Pyrite was another company. Well, yeah. They never explained who the people attacking was, because the people attacking were some like Drunks. Race of robots who were attacking mining moons.
That was Pyrite that was doing that.
I don't think it was
the Pyrite company's drones that were attacking. Yeah.
Was it?
They were trying to take it because in the beginning of the movie, they showed all the moons that Pyrite had already taken control over, and they were going after Moon 44, which is where the Galactic Mining Company was.
Okay, so I didn't catch that at the beginning.
It's hard
to
follow
because I knew Pyrite was a competing company, but they were also being attacked. But I don't remember them saying that Pyrite was the people that were attacking. I thought they said they didn't know who was attacking, but they said that several times they didn't know who or what it was or when it's going to happen that they're being attacked by these. They don't even know what it was that was attacking them.
Look. We can't even get the story straight. That's how disjointed the story was.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understood. It just wasn't very compelling, you know.
The drones were like these little robot-looking things with they look inside of it. It's got like two little arm things sticking out of the side of this little thing in the middle, and that's what was controlling the ships that were attacking it. They look pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those did look dumb.
I mean, the guy that raped the other guy in the shower, he rapes his own navigator and then gets into his helicopter and he's teasing his navigator while flying through the air. The navigator finally just snaps and like takes control of the helicopter and crashes the guy and everybody's all pissed off at him and he gets arrested. It's like, what did you think was going to happen? You let this guy get away with this crap. And then you put me in a position to kill him. I killed him.
So he couldn't control it, but he could control the speed.
Oh, no, no.
He could control the speed of it for some reason. The acceleration, because he kept on asking him to go faster, and then...
It was extremely contrived.
Right. Because if he could take control of it, then what would be the purpose of the pilots to begin with, like you said?
I didn't understand what the point of the whole movie was.
It was just the battle, but... You know, it was a whole conspiracy angle of it was the major and
the two army guys that were
Malcolm McDowell and then that other guy were
making
actually,
side money,
reprogramming the computers to go to the computers on the shuttle to go to Pyrite instead of
Malcolm McDowell killed the one guy that knew that he was guilty and.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it's an okay movie. I don't think it's a bad movie, like a terrible movie. I mean, it's well made, I think. I may have to disagree with Joe about the acting. I thought the acting was pretty bad. Except for a couple of people.
Malcolm McDowell's good.
Yeah, Michael Paré, Malcolm McDowell, and then whoever that navigator was that's with the one prisoner, you know, that becomes he was the original informant.
Oh yeah, and then the uber bad guy that turned into a halfway decent guy there at the end, and then Cookie,
that was very
the drug dealer
too.
Yes.
Now that uber bad guy has been in a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah,
he's been on. He's got a very unique look, you know.
Yeah, and he's been in everything, including like Buffy the Vampire Slayer as several vampires, I think.
Yeah. He's been in. I remember seeing him on the X-Files, too.
He was, he's right up there with Malcolm McDowell as one of those guys that you see him, you'll recognize him.
Yeah, exactly. He was in Cobra. He was the night slasher in Cobra. Man, he's been in so much stuff. Three Amigos, Alien Nation, Miracle Mile, Lionheart.
Well, yeah, he was a regular on Alien Nation.
Yeah. Let's see. Star Franklin Trek Generations. He was a Klingon. Let's see. Joe Dirt, Jason and the Argonauts, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Dragonheart. Man, just all kinds of stuff. Actually, I wouldn't mind just going through his...
What was his name?
Filmography. Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson.
Mm-hmm. He's 63 now.
No.
Malcolm McDowell's even older. But
yeah.
Oh, what's that one guy's name that has also been in, like, everything? Oh.
That was in this movie?
No, he was in Firefly and Leverage and just about anything else you can name. He's been in
Jane?
It.
Jane? Got to play Jane?
No, he played Jim Sterling. Mark Shepard? Or no, Jim Sterling. Yeah, Mark Shepard.
Mark Shepard. Let's see.
He's that guy that you is in everything and you recognize. He was even in Supernatural.
Yeah, I see him. I recognize him.
But yeah, he's like the modern Malcolm McDowell.
Mm-hmm. He's Willoughby in Doom Patrol. The wizard.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can say I actually enjoyed this movie. I guess I found it interesting enough to keep watching it. But other than that, I can't really recommend it. I'd probably going to have to give it a thumbs down for me.
Thumbs down.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
This is the movie, like the other Ghastly One, where I would like you guys to discuss Emacs Lisp in Czech. I don't speak Czech. It would be more pleasant than listening about to you describing this movie.
Well,
by watching it.
Yeah. What we were talking about last time was the rehearsal. Well, this isn't actually a movie. But yeah, I would probably not recommend this. I think a thumbs down for me. What about Mortensen? We haven't heard from Mortensen.
He didn't watch it. He was busy traveling.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he didn't watch it.
Mortensen, what did you think of the movie?
I watched it. It was entertaining.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Lovecraft, did you watch it? Lovecraft.
I actually ran out of time watching this one.
It's tough because he survived cancer. He survived watching the movie, too.
We've watched worse.
I would like second Minix's recommendation of Streets of Fire, though. That is a pretty cool flick.
It's really
Michael
cool.
Perret's in it. You got Willem Dafoe, Rick Moranis. Definitely would check that out.
It's a musical, but it's not like Cats or anything like that. I mean, it's a cool musical.
Yeah, it's that weird. It's a kind of weird alternate universe with like 1950s cars and like 80s other stuff. It's pretty wild.
Neon and lots of neon, and it's got a Diane Lane plays the main singer. What's her something in the Aliens? I can't remember the name of that band, but yeah, check it out. It is a cool movie, Streets of Fire. I think it's on Tubi. The lead in this is the lead in that one too. So, one thumbs up, so one star. That's what we're going to give this one. Which I think it deserves more than one star, but oh well. I'm not going to.
You sure you can't mark it as a black hole? As the kind of star?
Negative stars. Negative stars.
Oh, this isn't nearly the worst movie we've seen.
Definitely not.
I didn't feel like somebody owed me money.
No.
Okay.
Universal Soldiers is...
That was really bad.
This got nothing on this.
I want that 2 hours of my life back.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish it.
And that still wasn't the worst movie that we watched.
No, I think it was.
I think it was, too.
I think that actually passes Gunhead.
Gunhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gunhead was pretty damn bad.
Gunhead was bad, but Universal Soldier...
The difference is, Soldiers? I was able to finish Universal Soldiers. I was not able to finish Gunhead.
See, that was See, the opposite.
Yeah.
I finished Gunhead. I was not able to finish Universal Soldiers. I had to just stop because it was just so goddamn annoying.
All right, let's get the pick in the next one. Drum roll.
I got the drum roll here. Let's see. Where is it at? Cyborg.
Ooh, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Now, I see it. I don't mind watching this at all. From 1989. Let's see here. Oh, I need to change the show notes, too, on the Matrix Room.
89. Not to be confused with Cyborg Cop or Cyborg 2, 3, or 4. I didn't know they made a 4 or a 3. I knew they made a 2, and it was hot garbage.
I haven't seen any of the sequels. I knew I was aware of them, but he's only in the first one, right? Or is he in the second one, too?
I don't know. I don't. It's been a long, long time. Cyborg 2. I do not see Van Damme.
Yeah, so he had probably moved on by that. By the way, I saw not too long ago Double Impact, I think it was called. Y'all remember that one? Where it's him and his twin.
I think I've seen that.
That was hot garbage.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, it was bad. Bad.
I don't think so. Hey, Hopper, do you have your camera on?
I do not. That would require me to hold. That's fine. It would require me to hold my phone up for.
No,
like
that's fine. I just want to make sure it wasn't the connection.
I'll get a selfie stick for the show.
We have a hot mic from somebody.
Angelina Jolie was in the second Cyborg movie.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A modified cyborg created by Pinwheel for corporate espionage and assassination.
And she was the cyborg?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Well, what a way to go.
Maybe we should switch this from Cyborg to Cyborg 2.
Well, we can always put Cyborg 2 on the list.
I think we're going to have to. And Jean-Claude Van Damme only appears in flashback scenes.
Oh, so they just take parts of the movie, of the first one, and insert them? Probably.
Well, Cyborg 3 had one of our favorite actors in it.
Who?
Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, man. You know, until I started watching these movies, I always looked at him as like a really, like a almost a Shakespearean type legitimate actor. And then
you remember that he was in Tank Girl.
And Moon 44.
Where he literally lost his head.
And Cyborg 3. So I guess he'll do anything for money, to be honest.
Mercenary will.
Kind of like Samuel Jackson. All right, so that's movie time.
That's movie time. What about projects?
Oh, I think I discussed on The Matrix how I got this camera. It's not even, what do you call it? Like a stand? Not a tripod, but it's some kind of like, Joe has one. What is
that's
it called?
Similar. Mine's just a stand.
Yeah, like a camera stand, but you clamp it to the edge of the table, and that way you, and it has a big, three-segmented arm, and you can do overhead, like top-down shots. So I wanted
I got
to start
a bunch of them because I went and got them from Five and Below.
Oh, really?
And they were on sale. Well, not the style that you have, but this style right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The articulated arm, and so I get it for like less than $5.
It's pretty good.
And then that adapter that I sent you allows me to put like any phone mount on
oh, that's
on,
what that's
onto
for?
This.
Okay, I got you.
Onto
what's
the ball
on the end,
end
of it
there.
Now?
This is just the ball end here. You know what? I have one of the adapters here, and you know, all right, shaky cam time.
Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
So the ball goes on the other end of that, and then you can attach whatever
well,
to that quarter
is there,
inch.
Like,
yeah.
And then the stand goes here. Are the phone mount goes on to here, and, right. And that works for anything. Now, this one is attached to my little sliding workstation, But I took the whole clamp assembly off and put a screw and just screwed it directly in because the clamp was just taking up too much space. Mm. Yeah, so for mine, I think the total cost comes out to about $7.
So with mine, it's like a three-segmented arm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that I got this so I can start shooting top-down videos of like soldering and electronics hacking and stuff. And I started with my camcorder, and I kind of made a little video. But now I want to kind of scrap it because I have.
Don't you have a 3D printer?
Yeah, I have a 3D printer.
So like you know this that I made
for your
a couple
mic stand?
Of cents. Well, yeah, it holds the same quarter inch drive that all your mounts will hold, so you can put a mic on there. Mm-hmm. Well, the mic needs an adapter from quarter inch to like I think what something larger, but half inch I think. Yeah. But this will take mics, this will take cameras, this will take anything, and it's that just an articulated arm, and you know I've got the wing nuts here to loosen it and move it around.
So anyway, I want to make these top-down videos of, and I did with my camcorder, but it looks okay, but I'd like to really, I have an SLR camera I'd like to, that has video, that you can do video on, so I think I'm going to redo it with that camera now that I have a decent mount and see how that comes out. And I'll just post it to my PeerTube and then write an article on my blog about it too. So, let's see. Moon 44. This week's movie is Cyborg. What? Cyborg is 89?
90, yeah. I thought. Was it 89? Yeah, 89.
Okay. And then show notes are 210? 211.
11.
Okay.
It's me that's not supposed to know what show we're on. God.
So, everything's in the Matrix room, the movie, the show notes, all that stuff now. So what I'm doing now is I've got these like smart plugs or whatever. They have Wi-Fi and they have an app for them, the Tuya, like a Life something app. But what I'm doing smart is reprogramming Life. The little Wi-Fi module in them to use an open firmware called Open Something. It's got a long name, but it's actually the name of the little micro Wi-Fi microcontroller inside. They have an open. It's not an ESP. It's I forgot. It's called.
I thought it was like the 8266 or something.
No, well, see, I could put one of those in there, but no, that's not it. What did I thought I put it in the Matrix chat. Maybe I didn't. It's made by Beck and. Okay, here we go. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's called OpenBK7231T, which is the name of the open firmware. But you have to remove the module, desolder it from the board, in order to reprogram it. So that's what I'm doing on my video.
Sounds cool.
I need to open the show notes so I can start adding this stuff. Okay. Linux. Run out. And. Okay, that's in the show notes. And as far as what else I'm working on. Oh, did I show you all the pictures of my quilt?
No.
Yeah, I took this old quilt and where the edges were like frazzled, you know. Quilt itself was still good. I at my workshop or my hackerspace or whatever, they have a sewing group. So I went to the sewing group and they showed me how to sew, like how to use a sewing machine. And they showed me how to like fix stuff. So I fixed some holes in my sweaters and stuff. And I've got, I'll just I posted it on Mastodon. Let's see if I can link to it, and I'll just put the link in the show notes, and everybody can see it there. So I actually sewed.
Cool.
It's good to learn a new skill.
Yeah, it was cool. And like the people up there are real helpful. Okay, that's in the show notes. So that was another project I worked on, and it came out pretty good. I like the color, you know. It's like it's kind of a dark gray quilt, but it's got frayed edges. So I sewed like this border, kind of a school bus yellow color. It kind of does a good contrast. Also, I got a new soldering station. I think I had showed it off in the Matrix room. And that hot air gun, Joe, is, man, like the coolest tool in the world.
Yeah, I really need a quality hot air gun.
It is awesome. Man, it makes things so much easier. Just a really nice hot air gun. And so that soldering station comes with the soldering gun, hot air gun, or a soldering iron hot air gun, and also a preheat station. So you can put a board on the preheat station, heat it up if you want to do some soldering, or if you want to remove some stuff, makes it way easier. But anyway, that's it. I think that's it for me.
Good MSRP.
And then what about you, Joe, and Honky, and Mortensy? Mortensy, we know what he's been doing.
Oh, I already talked about the...
boning down over there.
Talked about the little containers that I'm trying to print. I mean, I can buy some that are similar for a couple of bucks at Five and Below, but I wanted to try and print my own. Just been having a lot of trouble printing PETG to the point where I'm right now trying to print in PLA, and we'll see how that comes out. But also, I've been working on this PSP that I got for Christmas, and honestly, it was just the last person that had it, I guess, put a custom shell on it and didn't hook up the backlight, and the screen was broken, and they only put like 2 of the 7 screws back into it when they put it back together. And there's still some issues with the casing being cracked around the battery and the UMD not working right. It might be a ribbon issue. It might not. I'd have to go back in and find out. But what's weird is, one, they put a custom casing on it and I guess didn't know what they were doing. And two, well, it needed a new battery, but that's actually kind of normal. But the broken screen, the not knowing how to put it back together, and it is already got custom firmware on it, so it'll play any game. So they knew enough to put custom firmware on it. They knew enough to put a new casing on it. But they didn't know enough to put it back together correctly.
Mm.
Now, it also came with like a really cool speaker case. So you basically can slide the entire PSP in there, and it's got a backup battery and auxiliary speakers that are actually fairly decent. And it's interesting and cool case and a great way to carry the PSP around and have it protected. Now, I don't really like this shiny casing on it, but I do like having another working PSP. Granted, I have several at this point, but it's still pretty cool. And I enjoyed working on it and getting it up and running again. And it does have a cool custom background if I can get it to turn on. It's just there's a lot of problems with the casing. Like the button doesn't want to slide back into position correctly. This brand new battery, I'm probably going to have to give it some time to charge. So, yeah, it's going to sit there and not do anything for a while. I'm showing them the PSP that you got me for Christmas. I also picked up, Jackie also for Christmas got me a Wii that I'm planning on putting some custom firmware on and playing some retro games on it. I understand there's actually a way to play GameCube games on there too, so I was going to give that a try and see how well it worked.
Nice. But wait, before we go on, I want to draw attention to this awesome shirt that Mortensy has. I don't know if y'all saw it in the beginning, but I want it. Have y'all seen this shirt?
Oh, what's it say?
Mortensy. Mortensen.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What's your shirt say?
Your shirt. I want to draw attention to your shirt because this thing is awesome.
Are you bringing out the print screen again?
No. Someone from work, Deshaun Boyd, bought this and another shirt for me for my birthday.
But we can't see it.
From a site called Shirtnoid.
Shirtnoid. Necromancer.
Necromancer. That is kind of cool.
Isn't that cute?
Jackie?
It looks like a comic book cover.
Yeah, it says Necromancer.
And it's got a little pentagram on it and a wizard cat.
No, he didn't do that one. Somebody bought it for him.
Raise dead cats back to life. I love that shirt.
It's kind of awesome. It's awesome.
I am so glad I have too many t-shirts or I'd be about 10 grand in debt right now.
Man, every time, it seems like you always have a different shirt every time you're on. You must have a million t-shirts.
I have four closets full plus a big bar in the basement full of shirts and some t-shirt racks. The other shirt that he got me, which I also brought to Thailand, has the Grim Reaper working from home. In the background, it says Employee of the Month. And he's just hitting delete on the keyboard. and Elle didn't understand what any of that meant until I told her who the Grim Reaper was and what his job was. And she was rolling laughing. She thought that was so funny.
It's awesome. That's clever.
Actually, what the Grim Reaper needs is a one-key keyboard.
Yeah.
Just one key, yeah.
So I'm looking at the Reddit, right? And one of you guys posted a link in here. Ikey Doherty's Serpent OS spins its first ISO.
Yep.
Didn't he abandon the one fucking OS from a long time ago?
Who?
Is it called Solus? Solus? Ikey Doherty.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's the guy who started Solus, then just up and left.
No, he started.
Took the keys to the kingdom with him, yes.
He did Solus. And then he left, and then he started another operating system, which he then had to change the name of. Since he already had the name Solus, he wound up changing that to Solus OS. And then he left that, which I don't think he gave up. I think somebody else is still maintaining Solus right now.
Yeah.
And then he left and was working for...
Well, the problem was is he took all the PayPal account information with him and no one could get to any of the funding. And that's why everybody was pissed off because he didn't say anything and he took the keys to the kingdom with him.
Right. Yeah, then he went to...
In the domain name, if I remember correctly.
He went to... hold on.
But I think he came out and actually made a statement about it when people found him because... There was something going on with his life that wasn't working out real well for him, which is why he disappeared.
But he didn't get to take all the money with him, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not that he took the money; he just took the password and username for the PayPal.
Mm.
I don't think he took any of the money out or anything like that. He just,
I got you.
You know, the access to it. He was the only one that had it.
So he disappears, the money disappears.
But when he came back, he gave everything up.
Yep. I just can't believe he's starting a second one, apparently.
No, this is at least number four.
Yeah, this is definitely not his first rodeo.
Wait, number four?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was the original...
He's been doing this a long time, man.
There was the original Solus OS, and then which he abandoned... And then the Solus was the one that's called Solus right now was originally called something else, but then he lost. There was some battle over the naming, and so he already had he already owned the name Solus OS, so he converted that one to Solus OS, and then he went to. I'm trying to look it up, but he worked for one of the major computer
Intel.
Companies.
Intel at some point. Yeah, he was
right.
An engineer at Intel.
Right. What was the OS he made at he was working with an Intel? Akidori.
Couldn't have been Clear Linux.
Yes, I think it was.
Was he involved in Clear Linux?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Would not surprise me.
I was using Clear Linux on my old laptop. But it was pretty good.
And then he started with Serpent OS. I thought Serpent was going to be something else, too. I thought Serpent was supposed to be a something more for game development.
Oh, let me look.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he...
Oh, it was Clear Linux. Go figure.
I'm not sure how much he did with Clear Linux, whether he started it, whether he just went... his job was just working on Clear Linux. But, yeah, he was definitely involved with it.
I'm trying to figure out what the purpose of it is. Not Clear Linux, Serpent.
Oh, okay.
Morency's got the shirts in the show notes. You got some cool shirts on here. Shirtoid.
How much are they?
Actually, I haven't even looked at that.
A lot.
No, I don't think so. Let's see. You go to buy one.
Buy it. TeePublic.
$15, $32, depending on your size, I guess. It, depending on the style, fit, and size, $15 to $32.
It just automatically closes.
Well, my ad blocker was blocking it, so I just hit proceed. I don't know why.
All right,
shirt, shirt, woot.
But
oh, that woot. Okay, my bad. Go ahead.
So I found something called, so on GitHub, there's something called Aiki Code, where he created Serpent, where it is Serpent Game Framework. Which I guess is not the same thing as the OS.
Yeah, I don't understand their sales pitch here. I'm looking in the comment section of the 4NX article, and it's just people arguing about whether or not we need another distro.
Well, you're always going to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know, like, why, you know?
Why does he keep starting new ones?
Oh, yeah, but this one in particular, like, what is the point?
Don't know.
Like, not to discourage people from starting distributions, because I don't care, just when you've had four in a row, like, what could you possibly want?
Yeah, so...
Another distro.
Yes.
So Aiki also does, is also known as Lipsy Snake LTD. And like I said, he's working, there's Serpent OS, and he also has on GitHub Serpent Game Framework. The Serpent Game Framework is a brand new game framework out from Lipsy Snake LTD, leveraging the latest technologies such as D, OpenGL, Vulkan, to make indie game development easier than ever. Let me see. I'll put the link to that.
How's your jet lag, Warnsey? Did you have any?
I don't think I had any jet lag.
Really? Were you able to sleep on the plane?
I'm having more of a problem with U.S. hours while I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the website will... Or not. It's broken. That's lovely.
You look good. You look healthy. You don't look tired.
Thank you.
Food's been good?
Oh, I ate something bad.
Oh, really?
Drank something
really.
Bad.
It got you, huh?
And I guess it could have been ice cubes, but I'm thinking it was the fresh eel out of the rice patties. For breakfast.
Oh,
fresh
and the water from that.
My guess would be the water, but it's not that the water's bad. It's just, you know, something that your body's not used to.
Did you get those charcoal pills?
I did get charcoal pills. You have to take those within like 4 hours. It only works in your stomach.
Okay.
I have travel lands, which I'm about a third of the way through. I don't think I have enough for the whole trip. Has colostrum from cow milk and some other things in it, and you take it before you eat, supposed to be organisms that are going to make you sick.
Oh, I never heard of that before. That's good to know.
They sold it along with the anti-mosquito stuff to me at the Passport Health, where I got my travel vaccines.
Oh, okay. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling pretty good. Everything seemed to settle out. I ate some American food, American style food. I tried to stay as bland as possible, and for a couple days found an equivalent to Pepto over here. Gastrobismol, I think is what it's called.
Pink bismuth.
Yeah, bismuth. Drinking a lot of potato or bananas, crackers, rice, and toast.
Just real bland stuff.
Brat.
Yep.
Fish and crackers. Yep.
Yeah, I think what got me one time was we went to a one of those hot pot deals, and I ate some oysters that are clams or something, but they weren't fully cooked like they should have been. And that got me. And then another time, you know what got me? They had this fresh squeeze, like a sugar cane juice on the street, you know? And it was the ice and that. They got sugar cane juice. So they'll put the sugar canes in that thing and then squeeze them out, you know? And I drank that, but I think he put ice in it or something, and that got me.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot this one project that I was working on.
Yeah, what is that?
You know what this is.
Kirby. Oh, that's the fume extractor.
Yeah. The only problem is that it's a 12 volt, so I need
the fan.
I have a power supply that I can use with it, but I need the carbon filter, and I need I need a barrel jack, and we're good. But the rest of it's all done.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the carbon filter.
Basically, any carbon filter you can get on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I will be doing that as well, but, you know, because Danny cried and said I wasn't going to do it because I can't stick it in my ear, I got it done for him.
Yeah, it looks cool.
But yeah, like I said, I got a power supply, barrel adapter.
Are you going to take the barrel adapter off one of your other power supplies?
No. I can get a set of 10 of them for like $9 Amazon. And then I can just use either... I have a universal power supply here, which will do 12 volts and has a... I think I'm going to go with the... 2.1 by 5.5? Yeah, 2.1 by 5.5. Which means that either I can use, I'll buy the barrel jack, I'll connect that cable to it, and either I'll use this or I'll use one of my old router power supplies, because those should all work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12 volt is pretty common.
Not as easy as 5 volt. I also consider just buying a 5 volt 40 millimeter fan. It would cost me about the same.
What is the barrel jack for?
The barrel jack is just to... could I do it without the barrel jack? Yes, I could. But then I'd have to unplug it to, you know...
Oh, so you can turn it off and on?
So I can connect it directly to this without having to wire it directly to this.
I gotcha. Do you have a little switch you can put in between?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look. Oh, and I found... 2 Raspberry Pi 0Ws in a box.
You found them?
Found them. Unopened.
That's cool.
Just chilling, waiting for a project.
Pies are impossible to get a hold of.
Very nice find.
I don't want to buy the $15 Raspberry Pi 0Ws right now because I'd have to pay like $75 each for them.
That's insane. Speaking of pies, Netminer, have you done anything with yours lately? Or?
Yes, it's been really helpful in when I had to rebuild my x86 machines.
Oh yeah, posted about that in the email group.
I've sort of got a I would have liked to have gone with the i7 version of this machine, but then that would have, it would have been another $100. Plus, I would have probably wanted to build it up a bit more.
Now, which machine is this?
It's a micro desktop, one of those little mounted behind your monitor machines.
Oh, okay. Is that new?
PCs.
Yeah, it's replacing my big ThinkSetter.
Kind of like a NUC or a Nuke or a NUC, whatever they call them.
It's about the size of a hardcover book. They call the form factor 1 liter.
Huh. But yeah, similar to the NUC.
Yeah.
It's
an i5?
i5, yeah. Quad core, 35 watt. They have an i7, but that's a little more money.
i5 is good, though.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I've got, I stuffed it with an NVMe SSD and a regular SSD.
And this is replacing the ThinkCenter. What did you have on the ThinkCenter?
Nothing yet, because I had it here waiting for the winter, and when I got a look at the power usage, I didn't even start it up.
That bad, huh?
Well, I got a $200 power bill, and I said, wait a minute. No way am I going to be able to use that big ThinkTetter as a server.
Power is really expensive right now.
Everything's really expensive right now.
That's true.
Yeah, but I was really... The nice thing about this, unlike a lot of the single boards, is that everything is easily accessible, replaceable if I wanted to put the i7 in. Unfortunately, the i7 CPU would cost about the same as the whole system.
Right.
And what the i7 gives me for 35 watts is 8 threads instead of 4.
So are you, is that going to be your main desktop now?
It's going to be, my main desktop. Nice little machine. I got a couple of really good screens to run with it.
And this is going to be Windows 11, of course.
No, this is one of the good machines that is disqualified from Windows 11. Okay. I love Windows 11. Windows 11 forever. Because it disqualifies so much good shit for us Linux guys.
It does. Certainly does.
Yeah, also I'm trying to stay in the 35 watt TPU so that I can run it as a day and night server without having to go to the Pi.
I think it'll do that easily. Right. I don't know, how many watts do you think it idle? Like 5 watts, 10 watts, something like that? Pretty low, I bet.
Dozen or so is what I've heard.
Yeah, pretty efficient.
As I said, the i7 would have been a lovely machine. However, I would have wanted to blow out the memory, and I would have wanted to get more expensive accessories. Also, I only discovered the 35-watt i7 after buying this machine.
Hmm.
I understand that Lovecraft knows about them. They're really... I think they are the future of the desktop.
These little Elite Desk Minis?
Yeah, the little 1 liter micros.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I've worked with them extensively. They're pretty handy.
Yeah, I used to use a Gigabit Bricks as my main out here in the garage. I think I used to talk about it on the show.
Yeah,
Warts has got some.
I'm planning on.
Aura.
I'm planning on.
Lucky rascal.
I'm planning on setting this up with 3 screens. And, this also has a VGA screen. Rather, it has a VGA output. I haven't hooked up the VGA screen yet.
So, what did you say you were doing with the Pi, as far as getting it ready for the, something about getting ready?
Well, the Pi has been my apt cache, and since I've been reinstalling machines all over the place, having the apt cache has really helped. The Pi has been acting as a server, and it has been serving quite well.
That's good.
Although I will have to get into it and do some updates and stuff, but last time I looked at the stats page, it had downloaded about a gigabyte and had served about 2.
Pretty good.
Well, it would have been better, but I haven't been able to have my installs. I haven't modified the installers to use the app cache. That's a bit beyond my skill level at the moment. But that one I'm planning on putting Pi Hole and some other stuff on. Eventually, well, after I get this little machine civilized, I'm going to be using Open Media Vault on the 2 gig machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's going to be the little Pi that will basically be my disk server.
I've never used Open Media Vault before.
Nice.
Well, that's, is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not based on anything. It's its own thing, right?
No, I believe it's based on Debian.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Debian, but it's designed to run basically off of the SD card.
I wonder what I'm thinking of. There's another one that people use, especially as file servers. What are some other ones?
Well, Open Media Vault is a bit different. It's a application that you can set up other type of file server stuff with it. It's almost like a it's not nearly as extensive as like a YUNO host, but it's got you can set up Samba through it. You can set up SFTP and it's been a while since you can set up other things with it. I think you can even set Mumble up through it at one point.
I know what I was thinking of. TrueNAS is one of them, and then Unraid. That's the other one I was thinking of.
Well, Unraid is a little weird because there's licensing involved in that one, I think.
Right. Let's see.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of setting up the 2 gig Pi as an Open Media Vault server, just so that if I have to shut everything down except one or two machines, that will be my disk server, and I think a 2 gig Pi should be enough for Open Media Vault. Since I'm not going to be doing any transcoding or anything, it's just going to be basically a web disk drive.
Yeah. I want to say I ran it on the Banana Pi at one point.
Did you?
Yeah.
You remember how big your Banana Pi was?
Not very.
Was it the original Banana Pi?
Yes. Or if it wasn't the original, it was one of the very the really earlier models. This one says the A1 was 1 gig of RAM, Ethernet. This is what the CPU is. It's a A20 ARM Cortex A7 dual core, all winner A20. 1 gigahertz processor. with 1 gig of RAM. Not sure if that was the exact model I had, but I'm sure it was comparable. Or have...
Yeah, well, for my light usage, it should be plenty. And
absolutely.
Having something that I can hang as much disk off of as I like is going to make it really nice.
Yep, absolutely.
And after having to do my reinstalls, I'm getting... I really, really need a backup server for stuff.
Mm. Right.
As well as having a place to put all my devs and whatnot for... so that when I have to do a reinstall or if I change distros, I can just pull them back off of disk.
Yep. Yeah, I want to do something somewhat similar. Not exactly, but I gave one of the Rock 64s I've hooked up to. I had gotten for Christmas a USB to 4-port or 4-bay hard drive. I don't know, it's a hard drive dock. So 2.5-inch hard drives. It'll take four 2.5-inch hard drives. And what I want to do is run... There is a Docker image for Nicotine. It's an RPI-Nicotine, no VNC.
Yeah, did you get that set up?
No, I haven't had a chance yet. I got the Rock 64 set up. I got three of the hard drives in. So I have... I'm going to have 2 1-terabyte drives and then 2 160-gig drives. And I actually got to reformat all the drives, and then from there I'm going to try playing with the Docker. But yeah, I don't use a lot of space. Like all of my music collection that I have on Funk Whale is on a little USB dongle on my Raspberry Pi 4, and it. I think I'm only using maybe 32 gigs on it. At least that's all I've allocated out to the music on Funk Whale at the moment. So I think what I have will be more than enough storage for. And what the idea is, I want to have that set up as Nicotine, and then have my collection of everything on there, so it's shareable through Nicotine, and then have it maybe rsync out to like Funk Whale and Jellyfin.
Hmm.
That's the idea, at least.
Yeah, well, I'm really falling in love with... I'm going to be using Cockpit on virtually everything for system management. And having something like it... I mean, Open Media Vault... I initially didn't use on one of my machines because... Open Media Vault doesn't allow you to choose a boot device. It chooses.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least the x86 version. If you're using the Raspberry Pi image, you just stick it on the SD card and away you go.
Right.
I was a little wary about using an SD card, but the whole, image the SD card that you're actually using, and then if it goes down, just re-image the SD card.
Yeah, basically. And you could do, just pull the, if you want to do a backup of your system, you can just pull the SD card out, do make a copy of it, DD it to an image file, and then put it back on, and then you can just take that image file and put it on a different SD card.
Yeah, I'm gonna, or I will use a disk imager because, again, I'm not really. I would rather use a graphical disk imager so that I can, let's face it. GNOME disks should be able to image the disc.
Probably.
Actually, once I get some storage configured, I'm going to have a serious sit down with me and Gnome Discs for doing some storage, because I've got a lot of discs from laptops and other stuff, and now that I'm moving everything to USB 3, I should be able to, you know, do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about ripping into a desktop case or a laptop case.
Nobody got framed.
Guys, I think I gotta head out.
All right, sir.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man.
Yep.
Yeah, no problem. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
All right.
See you, man.
Have a good night.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
How is the cell phone deal go, Morency, when you got there?
So I paid way more than what I paid in the U.S. I got this unlimited package that had, internet, unlimited, uncapped internet and stuff like that. And I'd already looked in AIS is the phone company at the airport. Uh-huh. And both of my phones supported their service. I checked. And it worked for a day and then stopped working. And I was really frustrated. We went to the store and they immediately were like, oh, you just bought the SIM card. You didn't buy an internet package. And I was like, I paid like $60. I paid $60 for this. I was pissed off. And Elle was even angrier because the lady just dismissed me. She finally, somebody else showed her where to look it up in the computer. And she's like, oh, yeah, you did. You bought the most expensive plan we sell. And then she said, it doesn't work with your phone. You need to buy a new phone. I was like, I checked this before. I'm not a moron. I prepared for this. I even stuck it in my phone that had two SIM card slots, so I could use that phone as a hotspot, and both my phone numbers would work. So I ended up. Elle and I talked about buying a Linux laptop and a tablet while I was here. And getting her to use Linux, so I bought a Galaxy Tab, a 5G Tab, put the SIM card in, and it worked right away. I did not buy it from the AIS store. I walked next door and bought it to.
I wouldn't have either. I'd have gone to another store.
I'd be pissed.
Oh yeah. I was furious. Although some of the phones they have here, what I think Vivo and Oppo and. They look like flagship U.S. owns at half price.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they got something that looks like the Samsung Galaxy Flip?
No, they actually have Galaxy Flips
for half the price.
I don't know about half the, but I wasn't looking at the Galaxy.
No, I was just asking about these alternative phones. Tablet.
Yeah, no, they just look like most of them look like iPhones. But they look like sturdy, nice. There were lots of Xiaomi and Huawei phones, and tablets and laptops also.
You can find some cheap or some that just need some work done.
I just want something that'll run my Linux on it.
I just want something broke so I can fix it.
Nah. Yeah. So put the SIM card in the Galaxy Tab. I forget what model it was, but I carry around her little pink backpack. So I have a pink backpack with the tablet on it. Serving me my internet, is using it as a hotspot.
Whatever works.
Yeah, it works. She's took it to work today. She's using it for whatever. We're trying to get all of her work stuff to work on the little tablet so she didn't have to cart around a 8-year-old Acer laptop. if everything works on the tablet for her, then the next step is I'm going to start doing some programming, and I'm going to build first a web form and then maybe a mobile app that allows her to enter her customer data when she does sales. And then it will automatically generate the four different types of reports that she has to do. She spends a third of her time generating these reports into the customers, to her boss, to the company,
manually,
and somewhere else. Manually, yeah. Yeah, in Excel. And I'm just like, you enter that once.
Gross. Gross.
I know. It churns my stomach. Hopefully, maybe I can get some sort of business arrangement out of it, and provide that for the head company and
for the company. That'd be nice.
No, they'll just see that you've already written the code, and they'll be like, "Yank."
Okay. I mean, if I can save a third of her time, that'll either mean she can work the same hours and increase her sales 30%, or that's more time for me.
Yeah.
My work, however, I'm very unhappy with my employer.
Because they forgot to pay you.
Oh, so we got pretty big bonuses this year because the company had a record sales in its lifetime of 150 years, record profit. Our raises, however, were very, very tiny, and was no option for more. Where last year we had financial problems, and I know how to access Reuters and see what everybody got because it's a publicly traded company. But because I took time off for my surgeries, even though I worked way more than the 2,080 hours that is full time for the year, they prorated my bonus because I had time off.
What a shitty thing to do.
It's time to find a new company, Gordon C.
I'm looking, yeah.
I have a question.
I'm looking too. It's a slow process, I am aware.
God help us all.
I was ignoring Mugbot because it's going to be a stupid ass question.
Oh, no, he has a question.
A stupid ass question.
Go ahead, Mugbot.
Are there many attractive robots in Thailand?
Oh, that's a good question.
The answer is yes, obviously.
What about it, Morncy? Any good looking robots there? Good looking robots
there? Well, I don't know how robotic they are, but the everybody has all these speakers.
Speaker?
Like smart speakers and stuff. They have them that look like Fender amps, and they sound great. They're half of them are really lightweight, like they have no magnet in them at all, which kind of confuses me.
That's weird. That's weird.
Because I'm used to really heavy stuff. But some of the speaker things they have over here are beautiful. And got a speaker and a smart robot. I think it's one of those like iRobot cleaners vacuum for the floor.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. From buying the
tablet. Or whatever.
It's Wise. WISE smart robot.
Nice.
I made a vacuum in college.
Oh, you did? how did that go?
I hope that sucked for you.
The suction was fantastic.
And Lugbot with no sucking.
Joe's still mad at Lugbot. For asking inappropriate questions.
No.
What? What?
Well, let Danny type now.
Are you mad at me?
No.
No.
What?
I will ask you a question right now.
As long as you don't take 6 months to type it out.
What are you talking about? Nobody's typing anything.
Nobody. No, that's right. Nobody is typing.
Forget it.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's already forgotten.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I make you mad? I feel terrible.
You made him mad.
Oh, I'm going to cry into my pillow tonight.
I am not talking to you, J.J.O.
Oh, I made a typo.
You're not talking.
I am not talking to you, Joe.
You're not talking.
He's pouting. Made him upset.
Oh, I feel terrible. No, I really don't.
Oh. Did y'all want to do a 2022 year in review?
Not really.
Put that on the Reddit thing, but the thing is, I can't remember anything that happened in 2022.
Right? It was kind of boring. I spent most of it in my garage.
That's where you spend all your time anyways.
That's true.
Mortensen had a pretty big year. A lot of stuff going on. Luckily, we still have him with us. That's awesome.
Right.
Thankful for that.
Won the first battle against cancer.
Yep.
Hopefully, there's not a second one.
Yeah. Netminer, he's got some a lot of cleaning up done, I guess.
Netminer, are you still having house problems? Where they might come in and take your home? The city's being asses. I'll take that as a maybe.
Oh, go ahead.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Netminer. What were you going to say? Okay. Do you have anything else? Or?
Here.
Yeah, I know you're here.
The best part about Lugbot is how much it cracks Danny up.
Right?
I think I'm more amused by just watching Danny crack up over there.
I can't help it.
Watching Danny's amusement at himself.
That's so stupid.
Dude, it was straight up cringe.
It is. I agree with Joe.
Should.
All right, back to Linux.
All right.
Do you even use Linux anymore, Danny?
No, I'm gone to Mac, and I bought an iPhone, and I bought a Apple TV. And
this does not surprise me in the least.
Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And
I can believe it.
What else do they have?
The earbuds, AirPods.
AirPods. Crazy AirPods, like
that.
Yeah. Yep. That seems your speed.
Apple deal, though.
Yeah, I bought one of those, too. But I only use Apple now.
Did you, like, attach it to Lugbot?
No.
Yes.
No, I did not.
Yes.
No. You're not supposed to be telling people that. Lugbot. Anyway. Y'all want to look at Reddit?
Sure.
You mean links?
Links.
Yeah. We're going to do links?
Sure.
I got to log in here. Let's see. I can continue with Google, continue with Apple, or I can put in my username and password. I'll do that. Save. Get out of here. How do I get to the links here? Oh, here we go. Linux Lugcast. Oh! The Pi Pico is getting Bluetooth support via update. That's cool.
Have you found a use for any of your Picos yet?
No.
Yeah,
I mean, I have uses
for them.
Don't
feel bad.
But I just haven't sat down and put them to
use. Yeah, but that's between you and Lugbot.
Well, Lugbot is a ColecoVision. He's not at all.
No, but he's using the controller along with the Apple dildo.
I got some good audio I can take from Joe now. So I didn't even know they had a Bluetooth capabilities, but I guess they did.
I didn't either. The Pico had the Bluetooth capabilities.
Had you... What is this? Edubuntu is coming back?
Edubuntu, yeah.
Edubuntu.
EDUbuntu.
The education-based, focused Ubuntu distribution.
See, I wonder if they could have got into the whole education space like Chromebooks did.
Well, Chromebooks are lighter, and they're more... the best part about a Chromebook is the fact that you can reset a Chromebook to, like, you know, wipe it and set it to default, which is... Because everything is basically web-based anyways.
Yeah.
Well, a Linux distribution, you could probably still do that, but it would still... It's still basically on a full-fledged operating system as opposed to Chromebook, which is basically just, you know, web-based.
Yeah, but... The hardware used to be lightweight for Chromebooks, and it's not anymore. It's basically the same as a premium laptop, and the cost is the same as a premium laptop. So
it is. Remember how cheap they used to be, and now look at them. I mean, that was the whole trade-off is, okay, I got to use Google's shitty operating system, but I get this nice laptop at a really sweet price, but it's not like that anymore.
Right, sub $100 you used to be able to get them, like $79, and you could have a Chromebook, and you could get it to somewhat run Linux applications, but that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was, you know, your browsing grandma only uses Chrome anyway.
Yeah, you know, YouTube, Facebook, whatever they use. So, yeah, I don't think they're worth it anymore. Just like the Raspberry Pi is now, with as expensive as it is, not really worth it anymore. Like back when Mortensen bought his, I bet he got a really good deal on it. Remember when you bought your Chromebook?
Yeah, I think it was $300 and something, $400. It was the 15-inch Intel. I think it was an i5.
I mean, it was nice hardware at the time, right?
Yeah. It's a, I think it's still nice hardware. It was supposed to be upgradable, both the hard drive, the SSD, and the memory. But I think the memory is soldered in. I've never converted it to gallium, which was my goal.
You guys were talking about the Chromebooks, and I was telling Joe over here that. Okay, so we're originally from El Paso Independent School District, and they went laptops to everybody. Because they were using the grant money to do laptops through HP.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but our district out here has gone Chromebooks for everybody but two graduate paths, and the architecture has Mac, or they have the Apple laptop, whatever it is, but everybody else gets a Chromebook.
They just give it to them, or what?
Yeah, they don't have lockers out here. They've really gone to Canvas as the setup for everybody that you log into your Google account.
Oh, okay.
So they give you an email that's through alanisd.org or .edu, depending on if you're a student or a teacher, and you log into this to get Canvas. That's how you do pretty much everything.
That's all your Google assignments classroom. Are on there?
Yes. There are, for like my son, the Chromebook just didn't have enough oompa to run all the programs that he does need to get around his disability. And for my eldest, Chromebook didn't have enough oompa to run the programs for the GT program. So they were using different laptops. And we used the SSI funds that we got from the state of Texas during COVID to upgrade their equipment. It's either a hit or miss, and it's not just the teachers who complain about it either. It's the students. Chromebook just doesn't have enough to be able to run all the different programs. Sometimes the different teachers are wanting to have your classwork on. Like JoJo does speech text programs, get around his disability for his dysgraphia. So he'll be got his headphone on, he's trying to do it, and it just crashes on the Chromebook.
Oh, wow.
I wonder what it is. It's probably Pentium, low power. salary?
Well, he runs a speech to text program. He runs a reader program, and then he's got the classroom stuff. And half the time they want you to run Zoom too. So it's like trying to get all of those, anything plus the Zoom, just automatically crashes his Chromebook. I never understood why, but we were on like a wait list through most of COVID trying to get enough for everybody. But everybody's like, why do we need a Chromebook when laptops would have been better? You were showing off for the camera for him.
Oh, I found something interesting out during the annual podcast.
What?
It seems that there are more channels on this server than I'm seeing, and I don't know how to unlock the rest.
On the Mumble server?
Yes.
I don't know why you wouldn't be seeing them.
Hmm.
I mean, I see Whatnot, Whatnot 2, Working Libre, Tilts, Us. Understand.
You see the HBR channel?
The HBR, I see Dev Random, I see Kernel Panic, Linux in the House, but I was told that there.
I don't see any more than that, really.
What are the other ones for? Just like test servers or other shows? Did Honky go to bed?
Possibly. Looks like Mordency went to sleep.
He's just resting his eyes. He's not sleeping.
Checking the eyelid for light leaks.
Yeah. He's listening. You don't need to look to listen, Joe.
I don't know, but you should see this.
Uh-oh. Joe's got the gun show going on. He's flexing.
Oh, I almost have a lat.
Work it, Joe.
Hold on.
Oh, you got one fan.
almost have a latissimus dorsi. Almost. Not quite, though.
Let me see you sweat, boy.
You got a fan over here. He's really into that.
Hockey came back at the perfect time.
Right. I think I should
Reset
go back.
Up.
Oh, I just got spanked.
We do talk about tech on this show, right? Occasionally Linux.
Once in a while.
Let's look at that tight bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were saying we occasionally talk about tech.
Okay, what else we got here? Honky's got one that ties into mine.
What's that?
The 15 of the best free open source apps for Android. And I had a couple of apps on here, too. I wonder if mine are in there.
That link. Tell me some of the good ones.
Let's see.
Firefox, Brave, Lawn Chair.
What's Lawn Chair?
Is it another 2020 Lawn Chair?
Work it, no.
Open source launcher?
Is that what it is? Oh, lawn chair, launcher. Okay, I get it now. Open camera? I use open camera.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think that's one of the ones I tested out on the my backup phone.
Good weather.
The Nord. Nord N200.
Cody. KeePass. Yeah. I use KeePass.
Code is a good one. KeePass is a good one.
Proton Mail. AntennaPod, I use that.
Is that what you use for podcasts?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I use Podcast Addict.
Use Podkicker.
VLC is good.
VLC for Android is always good.
Always install VLC.
QKSMS.
It does cloud backups. That's cool.
I recently installed an application. What was it? Automated auto message.
What does that do? Schedule
messages? I can schedule messages.
QKSMS does that.
I'm looking for a way to do it on command line. with either KDE Connect or Google Voice.
Osmond, OpenStreetMap for Android.
Do y'all use OpenStreetMap?
I should use it a lot more than I do.
Have you tried it on the PinePhone? Isn't that what people are using on the PinePhone?
No, I haven't tried it on the PinePhone, really. I should.
You should try it using the PinePhone. I don't use mine all that often either.
Well, the best thing is you can go to OpenStreetMap, just the website, and then use it the same way that you would an app.
Okay.
Does it have, like, a web app?
Yeah, well, basically. Just OpenStreetMap.com. Yeah.
I wonder if you can use, like, a web app maker on that phone.
Web app maker? Is that where you make, like, a widget from a web page, or...?
Yeah, hold on. I know what it's actually called. Yeah, it's just called web apps.
Hmm.
Yeah, web apps. Takes a website and turns it into an app.
Cool.
Web app manager.
Is it a phone app or is it a desktop app?
Desktop app, but you can run desktop applications on the Pine.
Hmm, that's true.
Well, if you can run desktop applications, turn everything into a web app.
You know what's funny? So I went to OpenStreetMap.com and I had it find my location. It's close, but it's not there. And it found it when I did OpenStreetMap on the phone. But the phone's got a
GPS
GPS on it.
I'm gonna go on my laptop here and see. I guess you just hit that little arrow. Show my location. Let's see if he can find it.
Golf course.
Not doing anything.
Not doing anything?
Well, I allowed it, the website to go to my location, but to use my location data. But oh, there it goes. Now it took a while. Let's see how close it is. Zoom in. Maybe it's still trying to find it. It's north of me by a good bit. Oh, there it goes. Okay.
Well, it's using your, IP address?
Yeah. Oh, I think it did find me. Yeah. It's right there. It found my exact location.
Wow.
On the laptop.
She's accidentally going to SWAT himself?
No, I hit 911.
Camera.
See what happens. You used to see my door bang be busted down.
I'd laugh.
So a couple applications I found was in the F-Droid store, Music Brains, which I used to tag all my music on my laptop. They have it for Android now, and it's a very good music tagging application. And also Android to Linux notifications, so a way to display Android phone notifications on Linux.
Really?
And, just use KDE Connect for that?
Well, yeah, I have KDE on my laptop, but this little laptop is using...
I don't have KDE. I still use KDE Connect.
Is using a... what is it called? Mate? Yeah.
Like I said, I don't have KDE, but I still use KDE Connect.
Sure.
So you got it. But then you have all those KDE dependencies.
Not everything works. Like, I can't send SMS, but I can receive all my notifications.
So this... It doesn't say... It just says to display notifications. It doesn't really say anything about sending them.
It might be an extra application that you have to install. But I did try to install it, and I do have the KDE SMS.
Now, there's another one I installed called SMS Import Export. And so it can take all your SMS and MMS messages and create an archive of them on your phone and store them. And then you can import them into another phone or just keep a backup just in case you want to keep all your messages. It's called, I'll put it in the show notes, and it's really handy. It worked well. It took a while to archive everything, but...
Didn't Google used to offer that? Backup all your SMS, Google Drive.
Let's see if I can find it on the F-Choice store. Do they?
They used to. I don't know if they still do.
There it is.
And okay, I think Samsung offers you the ability to transfer it all from one phone to another phone when you make the switch.
Now, I did do that last time when I switched Samsung phones. There we go. But this just makes a local backup onto like your SD card or wherever you want to back it up.
Yeah, but can you read it? Or does it have to be from your specific application?
I think it has to be, well, I don't know, you know. Well, let me see what it looks
like.
Is
it encrypted?
I don't know, Joe. Why do you keep asking me these questions?
Because they're important questions, man. People want to know.
I already closed the link. Let's see. It says imports and exports, SMS and MMS messages, call logs and contacts from and to JSON files. Does not require root. So it says. So I don't know if it's encrypted or...
Probably not. But, I mean, considering the volume of text messages I have, I just think that would be a lot.
Yeah, it is. SMS. It took a while. Well, MMS took so long.
Yeah.
Because all the pictures and stuff. But it doesn't say anything.
All the pictures that, you know, your cat sends you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lugbot sends you.
Oh, here's
sends
the
to your
messages.
Apple dildo.
It makes it vibrate. Let's see. Damn it. Joe is very horny tonight.
Wife's been sick. What do you want me to say?
Well, I can understand then. I'm going to the GitHub. Let's see. Import or export messages, call log or context, wipe messages. May take some time. It did take a while. By default, binary MMS data, such as images and videos, are exported. The user can choose to exclude them, which will often result in a file that is much smaller. You can do a scheduled exports. You can do a retention schedule.
So you used to have something like that, but I don't know if it was a Google app or if it was a Samsung app where I backed up everything. I don't remember. It's been a while. I think it was a Google app.
No deduplication is done currently. If messages are exported and then immediately re-imported, the device will then contain two copies of every message. To avoid this, the device can be wiped of all messages before importing by using the Wipe Messages button. That would make me nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a reason for saving all of your SMS?
I would like to have like all my photos and stuff backed up that, you know, I send or people send me, and, you know, people send me addresses and stuff like that. And
something somebody sent me 10 years ago, I might need one day. You never know.
Actually, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to upload that backup to my Nextcloud. That's good to have.
Oh, I did install the Android Nextcloud app.
Oh, do you have Nextcloud?
Of my own, no, but we are using it for Mintcast.
Oh, okay.
So I do have a location on my computer. So, yeah, I'm acting as the backup for Mintcast's Nextcloud. I should set up one of my own.
And set up one of your own.
I haven't been using BT Sync all that much lately, so.
Nobody uses BT Sync.
I was like the only guy using it there for a while, mm-hmm. like a real long while, but I kind of stopped because of audio bookshelf.
Oh, is that what you were using it for, audiobooks?
Yeah.
Mainly?
Yeah.
So any predictions for 2023? Any new...
Lugbot is going to go insane and try and murder us all.
He may do that. I don't think so.
Was there any other applications on this list?
Oh.
You found interesting? LibreOffice and OpenOffice Document Reader, AnySoft Keyboard, Simple Mobile Tools, Simple Gallery, Simple Calendar, Contacts, Music, Dialer, SMS, Draw, File Manager, Flashlight, Notes, Voice Recorder, App Launcher, Keyboard, Calculator,
Jackie uses Voice Recorder.
Simple Voice Recorder?
Yeah.
And that's the rest of the list.
Does she leave you notes?
No.
Saying, pick up your socks, Joe. Wash the dishes, Joe.
That's what we got kids for.
Picking up your socks?
Your servants, personal servants.
Yeah, washing the dishes and folding socks, which is why, you know, I never get to use socks more than twice.
Whatever.
Pretty much. They disappear. The kids make them disappear. They don't like folding them, so...
Folding socks?
They don't like folding socks.
I don't fold my socks.
I shove one sock into the other sock.
Yeah, but you put them in pairs, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't even do that.
Just dump them all in the
drawer. Just wear whatever two socks come to hand?
I just look for them. I dump them all in the drawer. And...
Yeah, but you live alone, don't you? Well, other than Bugbot and the cat.
Buster,
so any sock you find is yours.
And Buster socks.
I live in a household of like five, so.
Well, that's true. You got a lot of socks there.
Yeah.
But you only have one drawer for your stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
No?
No.
You're sharing dresser drawers?
I have a bunch of spaces for different things, if that's what you're asking. But no, I have one sock drawer. It's just there's never any socks.
Where do they go?
That's a good question. You should ask my kids. I have. I get no answer.
Does a dryer monster eat them?
No.
You know, there's an article out here that addresses something we talked about before about Amazon Alexa devices and stuff losing money. It talks about that, but also it talks about Google Cloud is $700 million in the red as of the last earnings statement, which is surprising to me.
Well, they aren't AWS.
No, they're not, but I thought still enough businesses would be using them that they wouldn't be in the red, or at least not that much. Talks about Gmail, how it's their 1.8 billion Gmail accounts, and basically advertising isn't covering the cost of Gmail.
Can you imagine how mad everyone would be if Gmail went away?
That, it says they're in a real tough position because of that, which I can see that.
Like, there would be no more Google if Gmail went away. I would literally stop using Chrome.
Really?
If Gmail went away, yes. That would mean I'd have to dust off a Yahoo account.
You don't want to do that.
I don't.
Or you could just roll your own server.
I don't want to run my own server. I don't want to run my own server.
You already knew what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know what comes after that. And no, I don't want to run my own server. That sounds entirely too much like work. Work.
Are you going in and out, Joe?
I couldn't see anybody else, so I refreshed.
But, yeah, that's kind of an issue. I think these companies were thinking, well, you know.
What?
No, we really don't.
We're going to make all this money, you know, on these services. And it didn't come to fruition. Alexa, Google, whatever, you know.
I still think trying to make money off of think that like an Alexa device is going to make you money by way of people purchasing things was short-sighted and stupid, because it's not.
I agree.
That's not something that people want to do, is ask the device to buy them something.
Right. And they want to verify what they're buying before, you know.
Right.
Amazon picks the most expensive one for you.
Right.
It says even if Google isn't making any money from you on Gmail, and there are billions like you, the numbers can explode in no time. Even if the company's only losing a penny a day per user, that's $3.5 billion a year for a billion users.
Yeah.
Could be a lot more. Workspace business subscriptions start at 20 cents a day and doesn't offer much more than free. It says Google couldn't kill Gmail, but Gmail could kill Google. You haven't failed until you fail at scale. Big losses can be attractive sinkholes for fiscal engineering. You think Musk's Twitter investors expect an operating profit and one traditional way out of a corner while saving face is to hive off the hemorrhage. Amazon could flog Alexa off to a third party for lots of someone else's money in the same way, in the way many untenable tech acquisitions are used as debt management vehicles. I said that's nearly impossible for Google. The regulatory ramifications and user pushback from selling 1.8 million active email accounts would be measured in megatons. That's interesting.
Yeah. So what's the recourse? The just shove more advertisements down our throat to try to make up for the difference?
Yeah. I mean, what else can they do, you know?
Right.
Unless they come out with a subscription, you know, service or something for Gmail. Outside of the business Gmail.
Weren't they doing that, something like that with their photos and their storage?
Yeah, they still do that as far as
where
I know.
They offered a bunch of stuff for free, and then after a while they're like, yeah, we're going to switch that model on you.
Mm-hmm.
You have 6 months to figure it out. Or however amount of time that they gave people. Do you think they'd ever do that for Gmail, though?
I mean...
Yeah, I don't think they can, just because of the fact of to run their Android products, you have to have a Gmail account.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have to start off with a Gmail account. Well, you have to have a Gmail account to run to buy any to get anything from the Play Store.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife has a Gmail account, which she's never looked at before, or like doesn't look at it that often, but she has it because she's got an Android phone. To be able to do that, you'd have to just completely screw them to turn Gmail into a pay product. I think their only recourse is something along the lines of shove more ads down our throat.
Think they would do that?
Yeah.
I'm causing a bad thing with Jitsi. Sorry, guys.
What are you doing, Jitsi?
Self-hosted gaming with friends.
I'm uploading that big file to my Nextcloud server, and it's taking up all my
bandwidth. Honestly, it's been clearer now than it's been all night.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't had a problem once.
Okay. I thought maybe... I saw Joe drop off. I thought maybe that was me. I guess not.
No?
Yeah, the self-hosted gaming with friends, that looks pretty cool.
Quantify?
But we would have to have friends to make that work. Do we have friends? I haven't checked.
Aren't we all friends here?
Are you my friend?
Yeah, of course.
Is Lugbot my friend?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
No, I'm good.
Just ask him. See what he says. You never know.
Yeah, but what games?
Whatever you can host.
I am your special friend.
Uh-huh. See, well, there we go.
Special friend.
It says, they can play along now simply by opening a web browser thanks to the project called Quantify. There are a few requirements to get this to work. At least one person needs to have a computer with a GPU to run the Docker container that hosts the game. But once that's done, anyone with the browser can connect to it and play. The entire project is open source, and since it's very young, there's only support for AMD and Intel GPUs. But it... What? Oh, okay. Intel does have a GPU now, right?
Yeah.
What's theirs called? Arclight, or... I can't remember. But it does have a fairly intuitive user interface, as well as some other features like allowing for various gaming peripherals and supporting streaming gameplay to Twitch and YouTube. It says, being able to host your own gaming server is pretty common in some games like Minecraft, but we're excited to see something that is self-hosted take this idea to the next level. We haven't seen something this ambitious since we were all talking about cloud gaming, but at least this time the games can be hosted on our own hardware.
Are you going to set something up?
I thought you had to beef your computers for gaming. You got to host it there, man.
I've got, like, my... gaming laptop is like super old. It's got a GTX 960 in it.
Oh, well, it just doesn't support NVIDIA. It has to be AMD or Intel.
I think this has a like a AMD 570, but it's an old one.
Well, there you go. You're the only one with an AMD video card.
Right.
So
set it up right now.
What game do you want set up anyway? Perfect. I like that game.
I want to play Doom.
Doom?
There you go.
Well,
that should be easy.
Well, Doom shouldn't require too much because you can set up your own land for Doom, can't you?
You can basically play, you know, Doom on anything. But, I don't know.
So how does the multiplayer work, I wonder?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Quantify, like, we could play one at a time.
Graphic resolution with qualities up to 4K and 60 FPS with HDR. Multiplayer support. Join, play, and share games online with anyone in the world anytime. Hang out and share a love for great games. Add your own games with Quantify Plus. You play games you already own and love from Steam, GOG.com, or Epic Games. Quantify Plus. So are they charging for this?
Maybe.
Oh, they are. If you go down to the bottom and click that, it says they have three tiers. Free plays. Free is $0 for a lifetime. It includes live stream to YouTube and Twitch, 30 minutes of gameplay per day. Play as you go starts at 50 cents an hour. Two game pads per private gaming room session. Live stream to YouTube. Stream games at 720 at 60 FPS. Unlimited gameplay per day. And then plus is all that. Plus add games from Steam, GOG, and Epic Games. Save and share game progress. No queuing to access games for $10.99 a month. Well, how are they charging for it if this is self-hosted? I don't know.
Right.
And their GitHub says, this project says, only support for AMD and Intel GPUs. Their GitHub said it's not been tested with Intel and AMD GPUs, only NVIDIA. What? Oh. So the README should say, Quantify has only been officially tested on NVIDIA GPUs only. I'm going to look at this. How do I host it? Why would I? Who am I paying if I host it myself?
Right.
Now it says, Quantify lets you run PC games.exe on a shared host computer with at least one GPU.
No, I'm good.
What the fuck?
But we should definitely play Quake Arena. All of us.
Quantify was, to some degree, inspired by Google Stadia. Sign up. Sign up to what?
Do you have Quake 3 Arena?
Do I? No.
On Steam?
I suck those games, man.
Well, you suck at all games.
Well, yeah, but especially those. Anything that requires fast reflexes, I'm like a 90-year-old man. To quickly get started, pull the image and run it with Docker Compose. Requirements: Linux or Windows subsystem for Linux. Quantify doesn't work on Windows Mac as they cannot pass GPUs to Linux containers.
Okay, this latest sounded cool until they wanted you to start paying for something that's self-hosted. So let's just, like, go on.
Well, I'm trying to see what you're paying for.
Self-loathing. Same thing we always pay for.
Okay, here we go. They have a part on that says rent a GPU, Quantify. Oh, then it asks you for your email and details and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I guess what you're paying for is if they host the Quantify Docker container and you're using their GPU or whatever, something like that. Maybe one day I'll check it out. Because I do have an NVIDIA GPU. It's an old one, I think. 950, I think. LastPass. They got hacked.
Anybody use LastPass? No, I use KeePass.
I don't.
And we already talked about Music Brain. We already talked about Android to Linux notifications.
I think I heard... I think Rich uses LastPass, but I thought Dor uses LastPass too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
May. Or he did.
I don't understand why the Pinecell V2 Bluetooth LE soldering iron gets a web interface. Does it need a web interface?
Yes.
It's supposed to get hot and melt my solder.
Is this
now you can share the web how hot your solder is.
Yeah.
No. Well, it is showing statistics of how hot it gets, how much power it's using. But no, I'm good.
It does this through Bluetooth.
Huh. And Pine64's Pinetab 2 will be a Linux-friendly tablet with an RK3566 processor.
Does anybody have any interest in it getting a Pinetab?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
It does run Linux, which is cool.
Well, yeah.
But I'd have to dig some more into the actual stats on it versus the cost. Because most tablets just aren't worth it.
You know, I was looking the other day for what I could do with my NVIDIA Shield tablet. And I think Lineage OS was an option that I read about. But it's only I think Android 8 is the highest version they support for the Shield. And I don't know what version I have on there now.
I don't either.
Why not?
Why would I know what he's running on his Shield?
Thought you knew everything.
Mm-hmm. He says he does.
Some days I do, and then some days, you know, the brain just falls out the ears.
I'm like that most days.
Did we lose Netminer?
We did, and then he came back.
Oh, yeah, he came back?
I had to reboot to reset some stuff.
Are you on the mini PC, Netminer?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. But now, what did you just decide to install on there? What OS or what distro?
Mint XFCE.
Does it work pretty well? Recognize all your hardware and everything?
Yeah. Well, this is a third gen, so nothing. There's nothing too radical in the machine. Mm.
They say there's no new Raspberry Pi coming out. No Raspberry Pi 5.
At least until 2024, right?
But they did kind of throw the... When they did the 4, if you remember right, it was a surprise. They were like, we're not having one, we're not having one, we're not having one. And then, here's the 4. Big gig.
Think they'll do something similar?
No, I really don't. I don't think they're going... They're still trying to catch up, you know, just try and get things back to normal after the chip shortage. So I think their current plan is a good one to slowly ramp up production of the stuff that they already have and then be in a surplus by the end of 2023 and then worry about new stuff in 2024.
Makes sense.
But if people, I guess, stop buying the Raspberry Pi 4 or the Zero or the Compute Stick, then they might try and create buzz by putting out the 5.
Mm.
Does anybody actually buy the Compute Stick?
Yes, especially when, you know, there was such major shortages. Because you can find, like, handhelds and stuff that are designed specifically to use the Compute Stick instead of the Pi Zero. Because, I assume, because you couldn't get the Pi Zero for a long time. And I think the stats on the Compute Stick are a little bit closer to the 4 than they are the 0. Oh. And if that's all you can get, then that's what you take.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many other single-board computers out there, then why would you just stick with the Raspberry Pi?
Well, for a while, you couldn't get anything else either. I happen to agree with you, but, you know, I still haven't gone out and bought an orange pie yet. Or banana pie. Or anything else.
The only thing I've been getting is a couple of different microcontrollers. As far as, like, many single-board computers, I haven't got anything like that in a long time. I've sold them, but I haven't bought them.
Yeah.
You working tomorrow, Hunky?
Yep.
You look tired.
You should get some sleep then, Honky. We should call it.
Late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Warren's asleep.
All right. Well, before we do that, was there any other links?
There were a couple, just nothing seemed overly interesting.
Oh, the New Year's show is here. Annual New Year's show. That's coming up.
No. You missed it.
I was there.
He was there.
Uh-huh.
A little bit.
Mobile Linux distro, Postmarket OS, 2212 brings Fairphone 4 and Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, 10.1 support. And yeah, that's like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's close it up. Our next recording date will be January 20th, 2023. Our music is Downright, provided by Cloud 2 and Brome. I'd like to thank Dublin for the use of his Mumbo server. Finally, we'd like to give a special thanks to Father Finch, Weeb, Dave Morris, and Tony Bemis for all their help and support over the years. I've been your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Joe.
Good night.
Lovecraft.
Good night, everybody.
Minix.
Good night.
Morton C.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, he's awake.
And Netminer.
Forgot Lugbot.
Yeah, you forgot Lugbot.
I did?
Mm-hmm. Good night, Lugbot.
Good night, Master.
Good night, Lugbot. Love you too.
Oh, boy. Good night, everybody. Usually helps to hook it up first.
Usually. Usually. Not always. Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Why, is Jitsi open?
Yes.
Recording is on.
Go.
But I don't know.
Nice. It's working. Everybody got an okay visual stream.
Yep. For now.
For now.
Yeah, give it 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Getting everybody on.
Hair kind of looks like mine, which is why mine has a hat.
You need a haircut, Joe?
No. Problem is I got a haircut and I have a colic.
You get cold.
I have a colic.
Colic.
Unless I want to put like a pound of product in it, and I don't see the point if I'm not going into the office.
Right.
Well. Which, yeah, I actually need to start going to the office.
Do you?
Okay, it might be good for my sanity.
Well.
Whole visiting people thing. I might do that RPI or that Raspberry Pi lug that you were talking about.
Yeah, you should come.
Should. Is that tomorrow?
I believe so. First Saturday of the month. Is that tomorrow? I think so, yeah.
I don't know if I can do tomorrow.
Well, I'll do it next month, you know.
I need to start like going and like hanging out with people more and not just being here.
Are you going, starting to go crazy?
I am.
Or is that already past that time?
It's debatable. Not gonna lie, I was never, you know, the sanest person.
Yep. Who we got here? We got Lovecraft, Hopper, Netminer. I guess probably no Mortensy tonight, huh?
Well, he's in the,
He was on.
Yeah, he was
oh.
on.
Oh, is he?
He was. He's not now.
He just now left. You scared him off.
Was he in the Mumbo?
He was in the Mumbo, but...
Oh, okay.
Hopper, you got to mute Jesse.
There he is.
You see? Oh, I see him. Yeah.
Hopper, you got to mute on the Jitsi and then leave it unmuted on the Mumbo.
Mumbo.
Okay, so unmute Mumbo, mute Jitsi.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, I think so.
No, I'm still hearing you through Jitsi.
Oh, yeah, it's still through Jitsi.
Oh, there you go.
Now unmute Mumble.
Yeah. Are you using Android Mumble? Moomla?
Mumble.
Plumble.
Mumla.
Well, Plumble.
And it's Mumla because it's meant to sound like Mumra from, you know, Thundercats.
Is it really?
Yes.
Hopper's talking, but I don't hear anything.
He must have his.
Yeah, I see you're lit up on Mumble, but there's no sound coming across. So if you're trying to say something, nope, nothing.
Is it the Android Mumla, or is it computer?
Here, if you want to unmute Jitsi, we can try to help you figure out what the problem is.
Yeah, okay.
My guess is that Jitsi stole your microphone.
Doesn't
seem to like it when I do that. Still have a way that. Are you trying to do everything from Android?
Yeah, I can switch.
At least have Jitsi on your computer. If your computer has a camera, then you can continue to use
Mumble on your phone.
Well, yeah. Not
Well,
or you can use Jitsi on the phone.
That's what Droid Cam is for.
Do Mumble on the computer, and then just set up your phone and face it at you. That way, you can just prop up the phone. You have to sit there and hold it and keep on pushing at it or whatever.
Well, it also depends on his headset. But you should definitely set up Droid Cam and just use your computer.
Always trying to push the Droid Cam. Mm-hmm.
Droid Cam's awesome.
You're working for them or something.
You are.
No screen copy. You could also do it with screen copy if you really wanted to. It just it's a bit more difficult and requires OBS.
Your mic sounds okay.
Yeah, your mic sounds good.
It's just a built-in one for my
language. I have to open up with swearing. Or in the words of Nicolas Cage in Face Off, you watch your fucking mouth.
Everybody have a good new year.
Yeah.
How long were you on the show, Honky?
Me?
Yeah.
Not nearly as long as either Joe or Netminer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Technically, Honky was on the entire time.
Technically.
Was there a lot of people that came through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots and lots. Pokey was on. Joe Resington was on for several hours.
Joe Resington was on?
Huh?
Joe Resington?
Yeah, Joe Res. Yeah.
Really?
I had a good conversation with Joe Res, but then he started having a fight with Moss, so.
About what were they fighting about?
Monetization. Joe Res's favorite topic when it comes to, podcasting. And Moss, being Moss, doesn't always know how to say things really well, and said something about monetization in a way that really upset Joe Resington, and they haven't been really friendly since.
Now, I don't know either one of these people.
You don't know Moss?
No.
He doesn't listen to the Mintcast.
Oh, he's on the Mintcast?
Yeah.
Who's Joe Res?
Joe Resington?
Yeah.
You don't know who Joe... Do you listen to podcasts at all?
I listen to, movie podcasts sometimes.
Do you listen to any, Linux or tech-based podcasts?
The Sunday Morning Linux Review, but I don't think they do that
anymore. Well, he's not on SMLR, so that would explain that.
I used to listen to Tilts.
He's been on Tilts once or twice, I'm sure.
Resington? I don't think so.
A long time ago.
Sometimes I listen to
Jupiter
the
Broadcasting.
Random. Dev Random. So it is.
You Random?
Yeah.
You Random. Yeah, I hear you. Who's this?
This is Hopper.
Wow.
I'm in desktop, and I have no idea how to use
it. I don't know your sound file.
You need to adjust your volume quite a bit.
Just adjust your volume, but otherwise it should be all okay.
Closer to your
either
mic.
Either that or make out with that microphone.
The full face.
On this.
Right.
Yeah,
right
go.
Up on it.
Follow it.
You guys, can you guys hear me?
Oh, you sound
yeah.
Yay.
So do you see Hopper or do you see a blue H?
I see a blue H.
Blue H.
But
yeah.
you're going in and out too, Minik.
No, that's fine.
He seems fine
to me. I am too.
No, you guys. He seems fine to me.
Don't start this shit again. I don't want to.
It might be my connection. I don't know. I'm out in the garage.
I just rebooted Jitsi before we started, so we wouldn't have those issues.
It might be my connection in the garage.
It's okay. Joe, because everybody else seems fine to me.
All right. I don't want another episode like that.
So, have any of you guys met Chris Fisher before, out of curiosity?
I don't know Chris Fisher.
I think he was out at Texas Linux Fest, but I don't know if I actually like talked to him.
Oh, I want to meet him so bad.
Who is he?
He's one of the Jupiter guys. He's with Joe Resington.
I don't know Joe Resington.
Did Joe Res go back to Jupiter Broadcasting after Jupiter Broadcasting split from the Texas company they were with?
Yes. Yeah, that was. I'm pretty sure that was one of the defining moments of why they split off from ACG.
No, it's because the company that bought Jupiter Broadcasting, that company got bought by another company. That company did not understand the whole podcasting angle and was just like, nope, we're just doing classes.
So what was the argument about?
Monetization.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who thought it was good and who thought it was bad?
It wasn't that. It was that Joe Resington is very passionate about being able to do something he loves and to make money at it. And then in one of his Telegram groups, he had encouraged people to talk about their own podcasts, to plug themselves. And Boss's thing was no ads and no bullshit, and suggested that everybody go to his podcast, and it was the no ads, no bullshit, and Joe Resington equating that to being ads being bullshit. So,
oh, okay. And then he got mad about it.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say is Joe Resington is, I've never met him personally. I've never really spent any time talking with him. But what I've heard of him on some of the podcasts and stuff, the big thing for me was there was, what did he do, Linux Nights, something like that?
Something like that.
One of their earlier episodes, they did an interview with a guy who started Nextcloud. When it was shortly after Nextcloud had just jumped from OwnCloud. And there was some bug in there, and the guy from Nextcloud was trying to go out and tell as many people as possible, hey, you guys, everybody needs to upgrade this as soon as possible, because when we jumped, there was a bug in there, and we didn't get to fix it as fast as we wanted to. And, at the same time, don't use the older version that was in Debian or something like that from Debian Stable. But, so Joe Resington and somebody else in there just basically spent half the podcast ripping him a new one, because they started this and they went, they pushed everything forward, because they're trying to, when they were, they left OwnCloud to go to Nextcloud, they were doing it so quickly, trying to get, get
it was a very sudden
started.
Thing. I remember
exactly.
That.
But they had to get everything going as fast as possible to make it a smooth transition from OwnCloud to Nextcloud. And when they did that, apparently they got a bug. And because they did that, he spent the entire time just basically ripping into him for putting the product out without proper testing or something like that. And he was just came off as a complete another fucking dick about it. That just turned me off. And there's other times that where he had similar situations
once he gets an opinion, it seems like he can be a little pushy about it.
I heard somebody say
I still like Joe.
I heard somebody say he likes to have, or at least to come off as a strong opinion, because he thinks it makes for good audio.
Danny, you might remember someone getting fired from Jupiter Broadcasting. It was a very big thing across the entire podcasting community a couple of years ago. Was it 2 years ago, Monkey, where he got fired? I think it was 2 years ago.
That was Joe.
Joe Rez got fired because for using the word cunt in a meeting.
Yes.
He hit his leg on the table and called the table a cunt.
Yeah, and
that's my recollection.
He's
did he called the table. I thought he actually.
British.
I thought he actually called a person it, or was it just the table and somebody that was a person who took offense to it?
It was someone took offense to it. That's
got
my
it.
Understanding.
To his
that
use
makes sense.
Of the word, yeah,
right,
and got fired.
Right.
Now, what podcast do Jupiter have?
A bunch of them.
This Week Plug, in Tech, Linux Action Show, Linux Action News.
Twit?
Unfiltered.
No, Twitch is Twitch.
Twitch is a whole other network.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jupiter Broadcasting.
Linux Action News was the biggest one for a long time. Who was the one before? Who was with
Noah? Him?
No, well, before no, wait.
When Noah first... Chalaya, and then before Noah Chalaya, it was Brian Lunduke.
Brian Lunduke. That's what I was thinking of, because it was Brian Lunduke and Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coder Radio, Linux Unplugged.
That company
posted the company Extras.
The company that bought Jupiter, the first one, I think. I don't know if it was ACG quite yet, but. The one of the companies that owned Jupiter at some point throughout that like 3 year shit show, they actually ended Coder Radio, which is what caused me to stop listening. I was like, nope, I'm done.
To be honest,
I basically stopped listening to podcasts for a while there because of just being at home, and I just used to listen to the podcasts on my commute. I'm not commuting as much now. Because when I'm sitting still, I prefer audiobooks. But when I'm driving, I preferred the podcasts.
Driving it's a shower a thing for me.
My showers aren't long enough for that.
Mine are. It's been 3 hours up in there.
Even at 3 and 4X, yeah. It's...
What?
My thing is with all the Jupiter Broadcasting stuff, I really didn't like the ads in it. I didn't like the ads in it, and I didn't like the whole the way he presented things as like the morning zoo show style. But that's just my taste. I still listen to a lot of it still, but
they don't do the morning zoo. That was a Linux Action Show thing.
Yeah.
And they stopped the Linux Action Show. That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, part of the reason that, you know, he sold the company, and there were plenty of reasons why he sold the company. He had a couple of long podcasts about it. But part of the reason was so that they could, you know, do less ads. Like, right. The one set of really targeted ads that they had was for the company that owned them at the time. That I can't remember. I just remember that it was based out of Austin or something.
Didn't they have Linux Academy?
Linux Academy, that's what it was.
Linux Academy.
So people got paid to podcast?
Yeah.
Or did they do other stuff too?
No.
They might have done classes, but those guys were getting paid to go to like TLF. I mean, I met Elle, and she was cool to talk to.
Oh, man. How do we get that money?
Right? How do we get that money? pay me.
Sell
pay,
out.
Pay me to podcast.
Sell out. That's what you got to do.
Hey, you know what? I will do mattress ads.
I'll do an ad right
those
now.
Those got annoying. I will admit, those mattress ads got freaking annoying.
Mattress ads?
From Noah?
Oh, I haven't.
It was a long time ago.
See, I remember when Noah was on Linux Action Show, and that was about it. I thought I liked him on Linux Action Show because he was...
Well, he was also radio, and I think he still is radio, but his radio show was kind of local, so it had to do with like a local mattress purveyor or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time, so I like if Noah I get being that on... wrong, I got that wrong.
I liked Noah being on the show because I thought Noah brought more of actual... Like, didn't he have a company where he was... he did tech work and stuff?
Yes.
He had a company where he did... he would set up networks, and at the same time, did he also host events and stuff? So he would set up all the audio for AV stuff for events?
The current co-host of Coder Radio, Matt or Mike Dominic, also runs his own development firm. I think he calls it the Mad Botter. But I don't know of anyone else at Jupiter that's doing that type of stuff now.
Yeah.
Times change.
And Pet G right now doesn't want to print for shit, and I don't know. A good prints, and then all of a sudden, nothing I did would print.
Yeah, I used my printer for the first time in a while the other day. That thing was noisy as hell. I gotta go like clean up underneath there and figure out what's making those clicking noises. It printed just fine, and everything worked.
If it's making clicking noises, it's most likely your extruder gear, and it might be that your filament is moist.
Not that type of clicking noise. It was more from one of the belts or wheels underneath.
Glitch. Well, I've been printing fine in Pet G for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden I'm getting like over extrusion almost. Oh, yeah. And build plate adhesion problems. And then when I was printing with the red filament instead of this, nothing would work on that red filament. It would just clog. And then I'd have I'd try to clear out the nozzle, but then it would just clog again. And then I replaced the nozzle twice trying to get that thing to print, and it wouldn't. So, but I don't know why. All of a sudden, it just doesn't want to print PETG. There's not a big variance in temperature. I think all I have is like a couple of spools of black PETG, a couple of spools of ABS that I can't print with until I get an enclosure, or fix the enclosure that I have. And a spool of like flesh colored PLA.
I got a ton of PLA hanging around here and I got to play with. Well, I got some some glow in the dark.
I've got ABS that's clear. I've got ABS that's glow in the dark. I think I have some orange PETG, some red PETG, some black PETG, and green. Really, really, really old green PLA, and that's just like the last little smidge that's left on the spool.
That PLA, I got the orange, green, gray, silver, gold, bronze. What do you got?
I don't know if that'll come in clear or not, but now it looks like under extrusion there. I had some over extrusion artifacts down on the bottom. What the hell is going on with this PETG, man?
So, Danny, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah? How was your New Year's? I saw that video you made. That was cool.
Yeah, that was at the Cidercade. I think Joe's been there. It was, are you talking about the one with the confetti?
Yes.
Yeah. That was fun. Did that and hung out with the family some and... I jumped on a little bit for a few minutes, I guess, to the New Year's show. I don't know. It was Sofig. Is that what his name is?
Oh, the guy who was the Funk Wheel maintainer?
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Talking to him, since I like that application so much. So, and then just relaxing, you know, stuff like that.
Did you invite him on the show?
We invited everybody to the show.
I don't know. Who, me or Honky?
You.
Honky invited me?
No. I invited him. A guy from Funkwell on the show.
Oh, yeah. I would like to hear him
from
on the
Funkwell?
Show. That's a yes. Cool. He was on that New Year's stream.
Yeah. He hangs out within the Tech and Coffee group, I guess.
What's that?
It seems like it's like a Twitter group. Not Twitter, Telegram.
Mastodon? Oh, Telegram.
So they have, if you go to their website, Tech and Coffee.
They're actually Mastodon.
They have a Mastodon group. They have like 3 Jitsi channels, 2 Telegram groups. They have a Discord channel, but invite is expired or something, because I tried to join in the Discord one because I don't do Telegram. I could probably do Jitsi, but I don't know whether it's video, and I really didn't feel like doing video most of the time. Let's see. I can spell today. Get coffee. That ain't it. Yeah, apparently they used to be a Google Plus group, and when G Plus went down, they kind of found other ways to still hang out.
Not disappear.
Trying to find
there's some cool groups on Google Plus, and I kind of missed
it.
Kind of missed that.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it wrong that I wanted G Plus to be successful?
No.
Oh no, we all did. We all wanted it to be successful because that's where all the tech people went.
Yeah. What a damn shame. I was there when it launched.
I think I might have been too.
I talked a lot with the tech and cop.
Whoa.
I think you're a Jitsi.
No, it's Lugbot.
Oh, get out of here, Lugbot.
Oh, way to screw it up.
I don't know why. Why is it like that? Why do you think it's doing that?
Because you told it to.
Oh,
obviously.
Let's try this. Test. Okay. Go ahead,
what were you saying?
Yeah, I talked a lot with the Tech and Coffee guys.
Yeah, they seem nice. It's so they're, you know what, I'll put this in the show notes. Their page is techandcoffee.info.
What is going on?
With what?
What's it called? Mumble's making a lot of noise.
Oh no, I'm making a lot of noise. Hey, Mortensy.
Is he back?
Yeah.
Well, his camera's here.
Yeah, I've been listening. I just joined the Jitsi.
Oh, hey! What's happening?
You're on the Jitsi? Oh. I see you.
I got my Road Warrior mic back.
Is it an actual Road mic?
It's an SM58, I believe.
What time is it your end of the world there, Mortensy?
9:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Sorry.
That's not bad.
Fucking Lugbot, what's wrong with you?
Oh, gosh.
Keep blaming Lugbot. We know it's you.
We're all going to bed. Meanwhile, it's another day for Mortensy.
Pretty normal, actually. Leave us for the week.
Test.
Oh, I actually got like 8 hours of sleep last night, thanks to sleeping pills.
Oh, yeah?
Test, okay. Test.
Yes, thanks to sleeping pills.
Nice.
Didn't feel all hungover today. I call that a win.
Absolutely.
Now, which episode is this?
211.
Oh, we still got to talk about the movie.
We haven't even started the show yet.
Got to talk about what we were watching.
I did not get around to watching Moon 44.
No.
I meant to.
Don't feel bad. Look, I watched Moon 44, but I couldn't tell you crap about the movie. I can tell you some. Like, I don't know how such an exciting movie could be so freaking boring.
I've been there.
Save it.
And easily forgotten. Like, Gangs of New York, you know, I've never seen tanks be anticlimactic. cannons be anticlimactic. But that's exactly what those cannons were.
Bro.
Geared up for this big, huge fight. Everybody gets there to the fight. Oh, crap. Cannons, no fight.
Hey, you know what? Maybe in low budget, but at least Velocipaster had a fight scene at the end.
Well, this had a fight scene at the end. It was just stupid balls.
There it goes.
Fight scene.
What movie was that?
Which one are you talking about?
He's,
our current one is Moon 44. Moon 44 had a fight scene at the end that wasn't really a fight scene.
Yeah, well, yeah, save it.
What did y'all watch?
Moon 44.
But not that.
What else besides Moon 44?
Oh.
I've been putting my reviews in the Matrix channel.
I'm not completely caught up, but I've been catching up on Titans. So, and then Doom Patrol.
I'm caught up on Doom Patrol.
I watched the Christmas special for Mrs. Brown's Boys, but not the New Year's one yet.
Now, what do you think of Doom Patrol so far?
Doom Patrol's good. It's good. I think this is their last season. Maybe next season's their last season. I'm not sure. Camera is on, just so you know. She's not feeling well. There's a new episode of Quantum Leap out. I haven't watched that yet. With Jackie not feeling well, we haven't done a lot of movies.
Are you watching Willow?
No, I have Willow. I have not watched it yet. Everybody that has watched it has told me that it's boring.
I enjoyed it a lot.
We did watch Violent Night.
Violent Night. Oh, okay. How was that?
I heard it was good.
You know, we would watch it again. It's that mindless violence out of nowhere type of thing. Sometimes
Jack Ryan?
You just want some crazy violence.
Sure.
qualifies.
Jack Ryan season 3?
Have not watched Jack Ryan. I'm waiting for Jack Reacher season 2.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Has anybody watched This Place Rules yet?
Nope.
That's good. It's about did y'all ever watch All Gas No Breaks on YouTube? The guy that did the interviews of all the people on the street and at the different conventions and stuff like that. Like, he went to a furry convention and went to a flat earth convention and just went everywhere. And but he documented all these different people up to the January 6th deal and from both sides. It was pretty interesting, pretty good. Some of it was pretty funny. It's on HBO Max. This Place Rules.
This Place Rules. Sorry, I have to remember that.
Joe, so the gripe I have with Doom Patrol is Crazy Jane's storyline is very annoying, and like, I wish it didn't exist. It sucks. It's like boring.
Yeah, annoying. But she's also like the most powerful character.
Yeah, but her all that in her head stuff, like all that crap is just like stupid and boring. It's like, just take a pill or something, man. Get it worked out, you know.
But I'll keep that piece of advice in mind, you know.
Not you, her. Well, yeah, you could probably use a few pills too, but mainly Crazy Jane.
That never made it through all of season 2 of Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
I started off season 2, and I just Doom Patrol. I liked season 1. It's definitely a slower show.
And it's definitely not your average hero show.
That's why I like it. That's why I really like that. What was that one about Professor X's son?
Legion.
Legion. That was awesome too. But it wasn't your average superhero show, you know. It's really cool, and
I don't think they ever mentioned in the show itself, though, that he was the son of Professor X.
No, but that's who he was. But
in the comics,
it was just cool, you know. Really surreal.
Cerebro.
Have y'all seen the trailer for The Last of Us? Oh, that looks good, man. Based on that video game about people turning into like monsters and stuff from some viral infection.
Oh, there's a Last of Us movie?
Yeah,
I thought that was a show on Paramount.
It's a series. No, HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Yeah, it's a new series coming out this month.
Okay.
Yeah, you should check out the trailer. It looks cool.
It hasn't come out yet?
No. Uh-uh. Okay.
Hey, I have a Why You Know Host question.
Okay.
What does Why You Know Host API is not responding mean?
Where are you getting that at?
I'm trying to install NVIDIA.
So... Oh, that I think it's still working, but you just get a timeout from the proxy timeout. I think. Who just left? Was that Netminer?
No,
Ernie. This one printed fine. Well, you know, the rough spots with PETG. But then now I'm just getting all kinds of artifacting, and it's either over extruding, under extruding. You can't decide what the hell's wrong with it.
Mm. Nice looking all the same. Yeah.
Well, this one, kind of the bottom one here, kind of came off the print bed, and you can see where it's aligned right there.
Yeah. Does it still slide though?
Yeah, after some sanding, it slides.
Functional. That's all that matters.
Like, you saw I had to sand this one to get it to slide. Now, with these, I had to do a lot of sanding across the top to get them to slide in and out. But what I did was I reduced the Y-axis from 100% to 97%.
There you go.
What else did I watch? I watched Tales from the Crypt. That was really good.
Which one?
Do we need to let people know that you now have a rating system that you put on to...
If you go to our Matrix...
The five-star rating system on Matrix now?
Every time I watch a movie now, I'll post a little mini review in the Matrix. So
Which Tales from the Crypt did you watch?
The 1972, the original one.
Okay. Not Fordello of Blood?
No, I've seen that one. I like that one, and I like... What's Demon Knight?
Is that Tales from the Crypt? Demonite's kind of awesome too, yeah.
Yeah, that was an awesome one. But this was really good for being an old 70s movie. It's still really impactful today. Like, it's just an awesome movie. But I gave that, if you go to the Matrix, you'll see the our entertainment division, Linux Lugcast Entertainment LLC, posts these reviews of these movies. And let's see, Rare Exports, I saw that, gave it 3 stars. That was a recommendation from Lovecraft. That was a cool movie. Have you all seen that one about the Santa Claus that's a monster that lives in the mountain and he gets dug up?
Krampus, or what is that thing called? Yeah, Krampus, that's it.
Yeah, it's called Rare Exports. It's like it's probably like a Krampus, except this one is like a giant demon or something. Krampus. It was a Finnish movie, but it was good. The Witches, that was a Roald Dahl book, I think. Yeah, with, what's her face? Angelica Houston.
The first one from about
1990.
Yeah,
yeah, and that was cool because Jim Henson did all the Muppetry work and stuff, and practical special effects were really cool, and the mice running around, that was cool.
Yep.
Christmas Evil, that was pretty boring. It wasn't even like a slasher. It was like just about a man going crazy and some. Sometimes he would give presents to people, and sometimes he would just stab them for some reason. And that was from 1980. Then Slaughter High from 1980 as well. And that was okay. That was a basic slasher movie. I gave that one 2 stars. Tales from the Crypt, I gave 4 stars. Bloody New Year. I was trying to look for some New Year horror movies, and that was like a British movie, so it was pretty dry, and the effects were real terrible. And I just gave it 2 stars. What else did I review on here? I'm trying to go back and look. Honky, didn't you have a star review too?
I didn't have a star review. I just had a couple of shows I was watching. I'm trying to go back and see which ones I put on there. I think The Recruit was a show on it's a Netflix show. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a Netflix show about. It's kind of like. The lawyers in the CIA type of a deal. It was fun. It was kind of a throwaway show, but it was kind of fun. Trying to think of what else. What did I put in here? Wrong thing.
Oh, I watched Blades too. Not Blade, but Blades. It's about this killer lawnmower that attacks people on this golf course. And that was like. Not very good. It's 2 stars.
Did you guys ever watch Knives Out?
Yes, I saw the first one. I haven't seen the new, was it Glass Onion?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't watched either one yet. I know we probably got some more people to go through on the whole what'd you watch stuff, but Jackie wanted to talk to you guys real quick. Well, we got a pause here.
Okay.
Hey guys.
What's going on?
Remember how I was telling you about how bad special education is down here in Texas, especially in our school district?
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we had a press conference with, her name is Christina Cabela, and she ran with Joe when they were running for school board to change things. Well, LNISD went after her 5-year-old. He has TAR syndrome, and he doesn't have any shoulder blades, he doesn't have any knee joints, he only has 1 ankle bone. And he doesn't have arms. He has hands that are attached to his chest cavity through tendons. So today they had a press conference, and she did give the school a heads up that she was doing the press conference, and they told her she couldn't do it because it's private property, and she asked for that policy, and then they told her it's board policy that they don't allow press conferences. And when that didn't, they couldn't produce that, then they called all the news outlets and told them that the presser had been canceled.
Wow.
So, her advocate and her have filed with the Department of Office of Civil Rights. They want to put this kid in, well, they first started, they wanted to put him in diapers. Doesn't need diapers, he just needs help going to the bathroom. Their solution to that now was they put a training potty on the floor. He has no joints in his knees, so they want him to fall down.
Part of TAR syndrome is he doesn't create enough blood pellets, so he is a severe bleed risk. So they want to put a leash on the kid, and what's called a restraint belt, so if he starts to fall, they can pull him. He does, and then they want to keep him in a stroller all day, which again still bruises the hell out of him because it's not the proper. So she was talking about that today, and they have forced police officers keeping everybody off the proper, or, you know, out of the, right in front of where the sign was that this was the district this was happening.
Oh.
So they got, this is just another case coming from, to the Office of Civil Rights from Allen ISD. Supposedly the richest district, or the richest county in Texas. And they can't provide an ADA client school or follow an IEP. The one that kind of got me the most was they told her, their lawyer told her in an ARD meeting, ARD is for IEPs, that ADA compliance doesn't apply to her son because he has too many disabilities.
Jesus.
So,
I wouldn't have those policies in a Will Carey state.
I think, but yeah, no. And then the other thing that happened in Allen today is we lost our quarterback because of racial vandalism that's been happening to his family. And all of a sudden today we also got a transfer of a really good quarterback into the high school team.
How did they pull that one off?
We're still trying to figure that one out. Because he shouldn't be allowed to play, but if he getting, it's not unheard of and it's been done before. They're supposed to wait a year. Unless the family moved because of certain conditions, state of Texas. So if you move for reasons, it's good. But if you just move to transfer into a district, you can't play for that team. But it's been done before. So he's already, God, man, that kid has already got like a full Twitter and Instagram profile. I mean, he's ready for the big leagues. I didn't realize that you pimped out high school students for college.
They do down in Texas.
So the thing that brought that up was because the only thing that is ADA compliant is our $70 million stadium.
Damn.
So none of the schools, none of the elementaries, none of the playgrounds, but the stadium is.
Well, you got to keep what's important in mind, and education is just an accessory to run your football team.
We have a total of 4 teams. We have the varsity, the junior, then you have the freshman, and then you have the freshman or C team, C and D team. And each of them is stacked full, and it's ridiculous the amount of money that it costs to play football out here. They even have an indoor football, half a football field to practice in. Here's Joe.
Jackie, I hope you're feeling better soon, and I hope you have better reason to talk with us in the future.
She Although, says thank you.
Any reason you have to talk to us, including the time of day, would be welcome.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? I think that's it. You want to start the show?
Oh, right.
Show?
There you go. Right. I need to write down the time.
SMLR 2.0 is the revamped Sunday Morning Linux Review with Tony Bemis, Mary Tomich, and Tom Lawrence. On even episodes, we cover distro fever and tech news. On the odd episodes will be fresh looks where we review a distro or software or tips and tricks. Live recordings are bi-weekly. Sunday morning on both Google Hangouts on air and audio only stream. Visit smlr.us for all the shows and the live recording schedule.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net/techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Blind Rich, he's a bloody drunk guy.
If you don't like a guest, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll get bad.